Hey, let's start the show.
It's July 16th, 2011. Welcome to This Is Only a Test, the official podcast of Tested.com. I'm Will Smith. Joining me today, Norman Chan. Norm, you're wearing a sweater.
Yeah, I don't usually wear sweaters.
What? It's like 140 million degrees outside. Why are you wearing a sweater?
It's not that hot outside.
It's so hot, we're eating popsicles.
Well, we were eating popsicles.
That was a while ago now.
Yeah.
We've done this
it's
over
a very
now.
Thin sweater.
Three times. It looks very soft. Can I touch it?
No, please don't touch me. Please don't touch me.
I just want one touch. One touch.
That does look like a very comfortable sweater.
It's less soft than it looks.
Norm does not like being touched.
Gary Whitta smarmily sits across the table from me thinking about toilet paper related tweets.
What's smarmy about it?
You look happy to be here, as always. You look so pleased with yourself right now.
I must admit.
You look like the cat that just ate a canary, but like Big Bird.
Even by my own very high standards, that was a fatality. When you handed me that phone, just so we can clarify, when you gave me that iPod, what is the very first thing I said?
I said, you should check out iOS 5, and you said, you shouldn't give me this.
Right.
And
I said, you should not give me this.
I'm just trying to expose you to new things. And then you internet.
And then you walked out of the room.
Yes.
And then Gary started laughing.
It's not like you haven't been a victim of this before. Do not hand me a Wi-Fi connected device that you are signed in on and then leave the room.
The worst part of
things will happen.
You asked me, hey, what's the Wi-Fi password here?
I know. It's like I give you every opportunity.
I know. I should have dodged that bullet, but lesson learned. I'm not going to help you anymore. Good luck, sir.
Well, like I said, I mean, it's. I didn't want you to give me the device anyway because I don't want to be tempted by iOS 5.
You can install it this evening.
Yeah, we'll talk about this later.
We'll get into it. There's reasons why I don't want to do the beta. I've given this a lot of thought.
Sitting to Gary's left, Ana Herker Robles.
Hello.
That makes this. Hold on. I'm the W. She's the A. N's the Norm, and G is the Gary. What does that make this?
A wank cast. First in. I don't know how long.
It's been a while. In case you haven't been following us on Twitter, turntable.fm fever has been sweeping the office.
Now, when you say sweeping the office, you mean since yesterday at about 3 p.m.
Yeah, about the time I was starting writing that review that's still not done.
Well, it's things that sweep thing, that tends to happen. It tends to happen very quickly.
And that's it. It's over.
No, it's not over. It is far from over, my friend.
It's been going all day.
P.S. I have never seen you in a turntable room, so what exactly
yesterday.
Is your
he was there
familiarity?
Yesterday.
For how long, though?
I was there for 4 hours yesterday.
Really?
He's a lurker.
Yeah.
You're a lurker.
I listen to music, and everything's lame.
You haven't been DJing yet? Everything is lame. you're one of those people.
Right. How hard can I mash this lame button?
Are you one of the people in the room who's just like never bobbing their heads, who's just like staring at the DJs on stage?
Well, I listen to other things on my computer. I listen
simultaneously?
Well, I had the turntable. I was there to be there. And then once the songs got to...
My God, you are the definition of a scenester. A dude who just shows up.
He totally is.
And I put my own headphones
on.
And I listen to what I like.
And listen to some Arcade Fire while this hip new band is playing.
Norm's got a carefully cultivated self-image to protect here.
That's right.
Really. In fact, you know what your look is right now? It's like a radio-free Atlanta DJ from like the 80s. It's like a very 80s look
thank
with like
you.
Those big
wow.
headphones.
That's what I want.
Well, it's
that's
like,
exactly
it's like
a, what I'm
those
for.
Are the office provided headphones.
Norm is like one of those walking Venn diagram t-shirts that says like music I like, music
I
you like, music you used to like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I wearing it right now? Oh no, that would have been perfect.
Would have been perfect if you were like Clark Kent becomes hipster Superman.
So here's the thing about turn. Let's explain what this is. Because right now we've talked about it a lot. We've mocked
people need to know what this is.
But what it is, it's a perfect intersection of people who like to talk about how awesome their taste in music is and people who like good music.
People who like finding new music.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
It's like one of these streaming internet music discovery services with like audio or whatever, but with a social
curated,
media aspect.
With a vertical enhancement.
Ergo, these guys are going to be filthy rich.
No, they're
going to
get shut down by the RIAA in like 3 weeks.
No, they'll get bought and you have to do a service, right? I mean, audio can stream anything you want.
I don't think it
works.
Well,
let's go back to the.
Here's what it is.
It's like a virtual club.
You walk into a room. There's a DJ stand on the front with 1 to 5 DJ slots.
When you say you walk into a room,
you open a page.
I mean, you go to a URL.
Web page, and the web page is a
chat room.
You are in a room. There is a DJ here. Right. What now?
It's more than just a chat room. There's a chat element, but it's a visual representation of a club.
So if you want to be a DJ, if you want to play music for the other people in the air quoting room, then you click the I would like to be a DJ button.
Well, there's 5 slots.
There's 5 slots.
And they're usually filled.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in a cool room, you can click on an open slot and become a DJ.
Exactly. When you are a DJ, you can select music to play. You can go type, add music, search for it, add it to your DJ queue.
Wait, it's music that from their database.
And you can also upload your own songs, although that doesn't work for me yet.
So they have an extensive database, which was going to be one of my questions. Like most popular music is in there. It's like the searching iTunes. There's a good chance they have it.
There's a lot of esoteric stuff too. I mean, there's like B-sides from some 80s albums and stuff like that.
Yeah, and anything dance very obscure, like Anna and I like to play obscure chip tunes and things like that, then you can upload those yourself. As long as it's not DRM'd, you can also add your own whatever
music you
have.
And then people upload and fan you. You can stay as
a
DJ.
So here's the thing. When you start the song, there are 2 buttons for everybody in the room, including the other DJs and the listeners, that are awesome or lame.
Not unlike the Funny or Die.
Dial.
Yeah,
and there's a needle that goes back and forth.
So when you mash, if you like the song, you mash awesome. Your little avatar on the dance floor starts nodding its head, and the needle goes to the right. If you mash lame, the needle goes to the left. And if enough people mash lame, then that person gets the hook, or at least it skips to the next song.
Now, that in itself is a very hipstery dynamic, isn't it? There's no middle ground here. Everything's either – it's black or white. Everything's either awesome or lame.
Well, I just don't press anything if it's just meh.
The needle
I guess you can do that. Yeah. You can abstain.
The middle, but – you know, it's only if it goes all the way to lame or all. I don't know what happens when it goes all the way to awesome because everybody's too much of a hipster to everybody admit.
No, I've seen some songs get all the way
there.
What
happens?
I played Pour Some Sugar on Me yesterday, and that went well.
It all depends on when.
I think
song
you just get
in.
You get more points.
Songs
you get
alone,
DJ points.
Songs by themselves, like looking at a playlist. Songs by themselves do not. Those stand alone. It's in the context of where people are. You know, with the last 4 songs, we're building up to one song.
Yeah,
but more importantly, if you get too many downvotes, your song will be stopped early and you'll move on to the next DJ.
And if you get get hooked too many times, get lamed out too many times, then eventually you get removed.
Really?
You lose your spot entirely.
Seems like it, yeah.
That's to stop, I guess, people trolling with like bad music and
stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you aren't playing Friday all the
well,
time.
Tomorrow, because I don't play Friday when it's
tomorrow
not Friday.
Friday yeah.
Tomorrow is Friday. Tomorrow is Friday. I've considered setting up a whole Friday room.
I would totally stay there.
That just plays Friday remixes and stuff. So we'll see how – I'm going to see if there's actually enough content.
No.
But wait a second. Gary, what happened to you today? I witnessed it.
I got voted off for the first time today. Is that what you're talking about?
You got lamed out?
Not off the stage, but it's the first – so far my choices have actually been quite popular. People seem to like the music I'm playing.
Oh, my goodness.
But I ventured into the world today of the Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, right. Not even the Miracle song.
No, I have Miracles on there. It's going to be played later, but I played some ICP, and it didn't make it through the whole song.
Yeah,
it's the first time I've been booed off.
It's not been a mood. It's not been that kind of room.
Not enough juggalos in there. I'm going to start a juggalo room as well.
No, don't start it.
But then people can follow you specifically.
People can
DJs.
Throw virtual Faygo at me on the stage.
They can fan you,
gross.
Upvote you, and then you get points based on that, which you can use to change your avatar.
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm currently some kind of cat. Type character,
bear looking,
and but I'm
you're a furry.
My new goal is to get to that awesome gorilla. So I want to be the gorilla.
You
want to
be a better
DJ.
Furry than you are today.
Yeah,
okay.
The gorilla is actually bigger than all the other people. On
He's
stage,
huge,
so that's a big plus.
Yeah, so you got
to
get
no
to I think 1,000 points.
Gorillas.
But this is an interesting part of the whole turntable system: is that it is a game, it is competitive, and it really encourages you to stay within the room and actually watch the chat because you need to know when somebody's leaving their DJ station so you can be the first one to click.
Well, it's like trying to find a parking spot in this city. When somebody leaves, it's instantly – I mean it's like half a second before someone else jumps in.
Well, it looks like it puts people have more fans and more points in at the with priority.
Really?
Because like I've noticed it's almost always somebody with like at least 40 or 50 fans upvotes, whatever.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, that's interesting too.
Yeah, anyway, it's a fun site. We're there. The channel is turntable.fm/whiskey. Whiskey.
It's a good room
is
to be
in. Is there
a
mobile app?
Now, right
there
is
no mobile app yet.
Right now, because it's only in beta, you have to be Facebook friends with someone who's already
We have a solution to that. There's a thread on the Tested forums that has like 1,500 views or something ridiculous on it already that is people who are adding friends who are willing to friend you on Facebook that have access – so that – and then you do the same thing for the next group of people down the line, yada, yada.
Right.
So that people can get it.
They'll open it
up. How populated has the room?
It's always like 40 or 50 people.
Okay. Yeah, 50 is
I mean, I'll be interested to see after the podcast how many people hop in tomorrow.
What I've been impressed by is, I mean, I've used some of these other music, you know, streaming discovery services like Pandora and Last.fm and RDO. And it's a good way to discover music. From hanging out in this room, though, I don't know why, it's because maybe some of the other people in the room have got similar tastes to mine. But I actually, I've already bought a bunch of music based on stuff that I've heard. You go onto iTunes, you can click a button, go right to iTunes and buy the track.
I wish
it's a good way to discover new music.
I wish that they had Amazon buttons. I wish they had RDO buttons.
But this is my question. The music that's in their archive,
yeah.
If I type in, you know, a Britney Spears song or something that they're likely to have,
yeah.
it's already there. I don't have to upload it. So where's that music coming from, and is this legitimate?
It is unclear to me whether that – I mean, my guess is that some of it's a mixture of stuff that they have license to. I mean, so the way
it works, internet radio works.
Yeah,
You build your own database, but you have to keep you have accounting. You have to keep track of what you're playing, what you're streaming, what everyone is streaming. So a site like Pandora, they rip all their CDs. Well, that's what they used to do. I'm sure they have some deal right now with, you know, other
AMG
services
and all those guys. Yeah,
that provide them with MP3s. But they rip all their music. But if they're streaming a Britney Spears song 4 million times a day. They have to keep track of that, and then their intermediaries.
They have to pay royalties.
Well, so royalties are paid to Sound Exchange.
There's different levels of royalty payment too. There's non-interactive. There's a distinction between non-interactive, which is like Pandora, where you can't choose what comes up next,
right?
And interactive, which is like RDO, where you can choose what comes next,
which is much more expensive,
right? Much more expensive if you can choose on demand. Now the question comes: are they being paid for are they paying for interactive or non-interactive?
I think they would.
I think
argue
it has to be
non-interactive.
They're going
to
say non-interactive. I wonder if they charge.
Well, if you're in the room, you can't control what the DJs.
Well, that's my question. I wonder if they charge DJ listens and player listens differently.
You should reach out to these guys and ask them some questions.
I sent them a note on email this morning, so we'll
it's
see.
It's interesting
what's
little information is on that site. Like, there's just terms of condition, privacy, and like one other thing, like support.
The one thing that they said is that the Friends of Friends thing, they I don't know exactly when they launched, but it seems like they said this morning on Twitter they had 2.5 million people that were registered for beta at this point, based on just the Friends of Friends thing. So it is spreading. Like, I mean, it's a really hooky kind of service.
They need to make it better, though. Once rooms get more than
it is a beta.
There's a lot of things that sure they'll clean up and improve.
Yeah, they need to make like permanent mods and that kind of stuff. They need to make the names permanent because people can come in and spoof other people's names and all that. There's a bunch of stuff that's jacked up about it right now. But the fact that it remains awesome despite the fact that there is stuff that needs to be better is pretty awesome.
I mean, it's great in the sense that, you know, it's like a Pandora type service, but it's actually kind of a two-way street. You can hear a lot of music that you might enjoy, but it's also fun to play a song and see people go, "Oh, I love this song," or whatever. Like, it's you feel like it's going back and forth.
It's very social.
Well, it's very interactive.
It has that social element.
I don't think 90 million people are going to end up signing for the service. Like,
you don't
Pandora.
Think it's a $3 billion IPO?
I don't think it's a $3 billion IPO.
No, but I mean, it's a different way to get a good playlist to listen to while you're sitting at work, which I think is
given that it's tied to Facebook. I'm kind of surprised that it isn't something that's kind of that they're building it like in Facebook, but like,
well,
like Farmville.
It's going to tie to Twitter and other stuff as well,
right?
Like the Facebook thing was just an easy way for them to control beta access, I think.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's talk about. It's not a huge news week, but there's a couple of things we want to start off with. First, Netflix redesign. I'm going to go ahead and go out there right up front. I haven't actually seen this because I can't remember the last time I went to Netflix.com.
The thing is, I don't use the website. I get it all on devices.
Yeah. Well, neither of you get the DVDs.
No.
That's right. Only. We don't get the DVDs, so there's no reason to go there anymore.
Well, gentlemen, I get the DVDs. I watch it on the Wii, and I also watch it on my computer on all three.
The Wii?
And you watch a lot of Netflix.
I watch a lot of Netflix. I basically have Netflix on any time I am at my house and not entertaining, sometimes even then. The new redesign – you've seen it too, Gary, right?
I've seen it briefly. I haven't really – like I said, I don't really go to the website anymore.
It's essentially a lot like their systems on the Wii, like their system on, I think, like Apple TV. It's big, like box art instead of little tiny box arts that you can see a lot of on one screen. Now you can see like maybe three columns.
And they kind of expand as you mouse over them. It's like more graphically flashy.
They've always given you text about, you know, like what the thing is once you mouse over it. Now it just, I don't know, it takes a little longer. I don't know why. I mean, it's rough. It's a rough new interface. The background is really ugly. It's like this old.
Is it all HTML5-y? Is that what's going on?
I mean, it's supposed to be. Now when you put your mouse over the box and it's an instant, you get one of those little circle with an arrow, you know, HTML5 play things that everybody has now. You know what I'm talking about? As opposed, it's like a very
distinctive
thing.
Oh, so it'll play the
thing.
Preview inside the...
It won't, though. Like,
it's a play button.
It's a play button. There's always been a play button. Now it really looks like if you click it, you'll get a preview in the little box. Not so. I mean, now, it seems like a weird arbitrary change.
You tweeted something and I followed the link and I guess the Netflix CEO had written a little blog post about the changes and there was a huge... very, very angry response. A lot of people were really unhappy with it. Is it just that people don't like change or is this really a bad change?
I think people who maybe have never used one of the other like console services, it might be really foreign and strange. But since I've been using all of the various, you know, things in the ecosystem, it doesn't seem like a big change to me at all. I think it's just people hate change.
I wonder if it's a smart, if it's a good idea though to try and make the website experience more like, you know, the Xbox and the Wii type experience. You've got a mouse, you can do more things. Does it really need to be dumbed down like this?
Exactly. I think they're going for like a unified system throughout their various consoles. I don't really know why it's all kind of the same, but I mean, it makes sense that it would eventually all merge if they're putting these on.
But it hasn't put
systems.
You out. You're not bothered about
it. Nah, I don't really care. The one thing I don't like about it is, like I said, you get fewer box arts than you used to, just like you do on.
You see less stuff on a page at once.
And I would kind of bet the reason is so that the little boxes can be bigger, so you can see the stars better, because that's the entire point of a video box, is to have two gigantic faces of like Ben Affleck and you know, Gwyneth Paltrow.
One blue and one orange.
Oh, you mean the stars of the movie, not the star ratings that you've given?
No,
that
exactly.
That stuff's still
the
separate, right?
Yeah, well, you still see them. It's about the same as far as I can tell. But yeah, I think they just want you to be able to see the actors more, so you'll click more stuff.
Now, this is just Netflix.com because I'm there on my iPad right now and it looks exactly the same as
that. I don't think they've changed that.
Mm. Yeah.
The PS3 interface has been coming in for a lot of flack. Like, they keep redesigning that and no one seems to be happy with whatever it is that they do. People aren't happy.
I've just not used the PS3 version. I mean,
I haven't either.
I have an Xbox Slim in my cabinet and I have an old fat PS3. So,
yeah,
I use the quiet one. Yeah. And when the Xbox Slim came out, the PS3 suddenly started being loud.
I think the Xbox 360 and the iTunes, the Apple TV Netflix interfaces are the two best ones. Although people tell me that Netflix for Windows Media Center is very good also.
Yeah, but I mean, who has Windows?
Yeah, you've got to have Windows Media Center.
It's funny you mentioned that because I've been using the Xbox One a lot more frequently, or Roku even, because the Apple TV interface has been really, really kind of hinky, for lack of a better term. Like, you'll be watching something and it'll pause.
Yeah,
and you'll be watching
I'm saying the interface is good, but gone back to using 360 because it seems like there's more streaming problems on Apple TV.
Yeah,
they still haven't fixed that.
Video playback, it was fixed for a while and now it's back broken again.
Yeah, I'm back to using the 360.
Yeah, same here. So I guess that's it for Netflix. I mean, I don't want to belabor this. It's just a website.
No, a minor thing, but
fix the app.
People don't like it.
I need a good app that can manage my DVD queue, Blu-ray queue.
You don't have.
You still have discs?
Oh, yeah, I get one disc. I got one Blu-ray.
What were these strange physical platters?
Last thing I watched was Millions by Danny Boyle.
Oh.
Okay.
How was that?
It's good. I liked it.
Kid movie?
Like, it's a family movie. It's heartwarming.
So it was 28 Days Later, but yeah, you know, it was about family.
I'm so past the. I moved off the disc plan a while ago. I was down to like one disc and then moved completely over. Now it just seems so old-fashioned.
I had one disc for a long time, and then I realized that the disc that I had was Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, you had it for a long time.
I had it for like a year.
I keep that.
It's a good movie, but it's on instant streaming now. Why would I not just instant stream?
But not everything is on instant streaming.
It's like when I was 10 years old, I rented Flash Gordon on VHS from my local video store and loved it so much. And this is before you could buy VHS tapes.
That was when VHS was $120.
Yeah, you had to pay the dealer price for it.
Yeah.
Which is what, like $100?
It was like £100 or something
sometimes
for the tape. There was no retail market for movies, for VHS films at all. Yeah. I mean, it came in shortly after that, but I just kept it. And the late fees when I eventually sent it back were just ridiculous.
Well, occasionally there were some VHS collectibles, like the Disney stuff came out, like the Disney when they opened the vault, you could buy Lady and the Tramp.
Do you remember
Pinocchio
those? Do you remember those massive VHS, those padded cases?
Yeah,
the white plastic ones.
Yeah,
easy to children to open.
They brought that shit into the DVD age too, if you recall, because they used bad DVD cases for a long time on Disney movies.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, it was just cardboard sleeves that were always oversized or ridiculous or something.
Oh my god!
Stand out on your shelf.
I just got a flashback of when I used to work at a video store, and those.
I can't believe that you used to work in a video store.
Really?
Yeah, it's totally unlikely. I was like 15 too. So I was like the youngest hipster there.
When people came up with bad, if somebody came up and say,
"I know where this is going."
Let's say they came up with. I'm trying to think.
You don't know my taste, man. Really terrible.
Mannequin.
Mannequin's not bad.
Starring what's her
name? It would have to be something that's well revered. Came up with like Traffic, which is not a movie I like, I'd be like, oh, okay, whatever.
Non-Cronenberg Crash.
I would like look at this guy and be
Would you tell him not to watch that, or would you just stare?
I am insanely
Your video store membership card.
No, I
have judgment.
I'm tear it up right now.
I am extremely courteous to customers. It's like ingrained in me for some reason. But what I was going to say is that those soft Disney style cases are the freaking worst because you're carrying a gigantic stack of videos, they have sharp little edges edges come out farther than any other part of them and it digs into your skin.
Do you know what else we had in my house? My parents had them. Are those old-fashioned that you could just buy. They were empty cases, but they look like kind of leather-bound books that you could put your VHS tapes in. So bad.
I've never even heard of that. That sounds very British.
Very English.
They were just these cheap vinyl cases.
Wow.
Yeah, they were supposed
to lawyer books.
Yeah, you put it up against above your Ferguson video star to class up the joint.
Yeah.
Very bad. Yeah, well, those Disney cases were awful.
You know, games do that too. The bad case thing is a problem across all industries because. Like I bought – well, first off, the Tron Blu-ray, the collector set, the one with Blu-ray, the 3D Blu-ray and the Blu-ray and the digital copy and the DVD. I bought that and the original movie too. But it came in two different forms. One was a normal box, like a DVD jewel case, and the other was a round disc shaped like the
that's a super collector's edition.
Like the disc from – no, it's not a fucking collector's edition. That's going to be –
the Target version.
I can get that for $4 on eBay right now, I bet, the disc.
Could you remove the disc from the container?
Yeah, the disc comes on a stand for display.
Yep. Whatever.
Which effectively means it's never, ever going to fit on a shelf.
Yep.
Same thing for Viva Pinata and all these other games.
All these DVD, these Blu-ray special editions now you see the like Lebowski bowling ball. All this stuff is just like where do you fucking put it once you're done?
It's a bad idea.
You shouldn't buy those. I won't buy them.
Oh, things that come with stupid busts and things. They announced it. The Scarface.
Does it come with a giant pile of coke?
It's going to come with the whatchamacallit?
The statue.
It's a very limited edition.
Say hello to my little friend.
No, it's like a case that holds not cigars,
coke,
maybe coke.
That movie's about coke.
Yeah, that's it's very limited, but basically, extremely extreme.
Copies.
No, it's almost not limited.
There must be coke in it.
Yeah, I try to avoid buying those things. You There's no room for them on anymore.
But even back in the early DVD days, when they had collector's edition like the Fight Club and the 7 DVDs.
Oh, with those fucking folding cardboard cases that
I
never close.
Those. I kind of like
those are okay. As long as they fit on a shelf, they're fine.
I bet they're cheap to make.
And you know what? They should go back. I mean, I guess they do have those now. It's the standard.
Yeah, the folding ones.
It's not the plastic. You know, fold open. It's
well, the
all clicky cardboard
plastic
now.
Is bad.
Well, now it's like this, those book, those digi books or whatever they call them.
Like the Social Network DVD or a Blu-ray box. It's awesome.
The problem with the Fight Club one is that it never went in the sleeve right.
Went in the sleeve.
I know what you mean. Well,
how great, though, that our children are going to grow up never having to worry about it. Everything's just going to be in the cloud. These physical relics are just going to be so
–
they're going to be oddities.
I mean, not great at all.
I was thinking about this the other day. Like, it paves the way for a whole new wave of minimalism.
Totally.
I mean, you think about it, because what's going to happen is you're going to have this whole generation of people that have these apartments and houses that are just devoid of all media. No books, no CDs, no tapes.
You're going to be like Robert De Niro in Heat. Your house will just be completely Spartan.
Yeah. God,
except
you're right.
Their digital world is going to be completely full with shit.
Yes.
Like they're going to have movie files strewn everywhere, photos everywhere. It's going to be worse than what we have right now.
They'll have like
so
a USB
more.
Key or something and like all their media will either be on that or it'll just,
So it's like they're living secret lives.
You can sell a virtual like a living room.
PlayStation Home.
It'll index all your movie files and Kindle files and then display them in your virtual house.
I mean, the last time I moved house, the biggest hassle I remember was packing up all my books and all my DVDs. If you've got a large collection.
Well, books are heavy.
Yes. Books are heavy. Books are why I hire movers.
But I'm pretty sure my entire book collection, probably times 10, would fit on today's Kindle. Well, that's that's kind of cool.
It's not, they still have that much. I mean, it's like $1,000 or something.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's not that much.
But I mean, you know.
But I mean, the thing is, it's all up there, so you can just pull it down again.
It's all up there.
Yeah.
It's all in the cloud.
Up there.
Just up there somewhere. I don't know where. It's floating around.
There's a world outside of Yonkers.
I thought you were going to the South Park.
I thought it was the South Park also.
But wait a second. I
should have done South Park.
I have an interesting, I mean, that's actually an extremely interesting idea. What are people going to fill their houses with? Or are rooms going to get smaller? Do you foresee houses actually getting smaller?
Houses are going to get bigger.
We're talking about 100 years from now.
Are we going to live in like Japanese style Tokyo apartments?
Like, if we really don't
super tiny.
Maybe everybody's tube is the same.
Yeah.
You're in tube 7A tonight. Squeeze in, Billy.
It's the Matrix.
As long as you have your data cube.
Right.
With all your movies and
your data cubes embedded in an earring.
There's an interesting bigger subject there. Like, you know, population gets out of control. People need living space.
Yeah.
If you have less physical stuff, does that mean you can get by with living in a smaller space?
I like to think that
where are these server farms going to be? That's
Oregon.
All the space.
Well, they'll be taking
Oregon.
Up all the space that we don't need for our houses anymore.
Right. It's Oregon.
They'll be underground, right?
Yeah.
Where there's cheap
stuff
power.
Where there's nothing going on.
Oregon and New Mexico.
Yeah. Well, where's that massive data center that Apple just built? It's in North Carolina, isn't it?
There's one, Northern Virginia, I think.
Oh, somewhere like that. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of free space out there.
I mean, what determines that is how much you have to pay for air conditioning and how much power costs. Those things are both tied to each other also.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
I still want DVD cases.
I've been thinking about this
you
for a
while. You say that
time.
Now. Do you want CD cases for your music anymore?
No, because I have too many. Music, you listen, it's half an hour. You know,
here's
an hour
Norm,
of content.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you. When I moved last time, I boxed up the DVDs, and I'm never unboxing them again. They're all ripped. They're all stored on hard drives. The only way I would unbox them is if I have to re-rip all of them.
I remember that when I spent a weekend throwing away all my CD jewel cases, and I kept the CDs. I put them in one of those big wallets.
Yeah, case logic.
Which is like my physical backup. It's nice to have that.
Right.
But it felt very liberating to do that.
Yeah, I've been carrying mine around in a big Case Logic case for like, you know, up until like 2009, and I finally was like, I don't need this anymore. I'm just going to leave this at my mom's house forever. I don't even need to take it on the plane with me.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, the only reason this type of media comes with big cases, the only reason there's a jewel case and you didn't just get a sleeve with CDs in it is A, they didn't think people would buy just an empty disc, and B, they wanted to make it harder to shoplift. I mean, that's why DVD cases are taller and not square, because you can fit a CD case in your back pocket and people shoplift the hell out of them, it turns out.
Right.
So DVDs are big enough that they'll hang out
of
the back of your pocket.
Well, they also want to create a sense of value. That might be your first point. You want to feel like you're getting something for your money.
I really think it's theft. I think theft prevention was the first thing.
Well, and then they put those DVD cases in bigger, like, clear plastic cases.
Yeah. Well, they always end up doing that. That is true.
Yeah, it's even bigger.
I don't know. It's
even and game boxes. Remember the old parallelogram boxes?
Oh boy, do you mean IDOS?
Trapezoid IDOS boxes.
Yeah. Or just big PC game boxes. Those things look enormous now.
We talked before, I think last week or the week before, about being the last generation to remember what the world was like before the internet. I think we might also be the last generation to remember what physical media was all about.
I'm not entirely certain that physical media is going to go.
Over the course of a generation.
Over the course of a generation, definitely. But in the night, I mean, I think there'll still be people hanging on, just because you have to wait for the older generations that aren't comfortable with the ineffableness of digital media in the cloud to go away.
I mean,
people are going to keep buying Blu-rays for a long time or DVDs. I mean, I think people will be buying DVDs 15 years from now.
But do you agree with the people that say there won't be another physical format after Blu-ray, that this is the last one?
I look at the bandwidth requirements and the space requirements for a 4K image on a two-hour movie, and I think that there's probably one more, because I don't think the bandwidth – the internet isn't rolling out fast enough in the U.S. to support 4K, you know, even double HD resolution, much less quad HD resolution.
We talk about how much percentage of internet bandwidth is Netflix streaming.
Yeah,
and that's just mostly 480p. You know, maybe at most half of that is HD.
Yeah, and if you're talking about 48 hertz, 4096 line resolution, 3D content, then all of a sudden you're looking at, you know, files that are 600 gigabytes, and that you can't stream that, right?
Not today.
But I don't – I mean, at the rate we're going, I don't think in the next 5 or 6 years.
No way. The thing about the idea of getting rid of physical media too is, in order for us to truly like get rid of it, it has to be so cheap that even like the poorest people in other countries too can, you know, afford it. Otherwise, people, there's always going to be a need for the stuff that already exists, you know, like libraries and books and
you
stuff
mean
like
people
that.
Reselling.
People reselling.
I don't want to alarm you, Anna, but yeah. I don't think that the movie studios are that concerned about the resale library and third world poor people
markets. I'm not saying the movie people are going to care about it. I'm just going to say that stuff is going to still exist in our world until it, you know, disintegrates, or it, you know, the alternative.
Oh, you mean the old
so
stuff, the stuff that's already
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying
that's not going to go away.
I'm saying like our kids are not going to not know what a book is or not know what a DVD case is because people
my
are
kids
be holding
are
going to
not
that.
Know what.
Well,
a
there are kids now who don't know what VHS is.
Right, we have kids
well, yeah,
here,
but
who
not
can't
all
work.
Kids.
We have kids who work interns here who can't work a goddamn landline.
Yeah, but we're like an internet group of people. There are people who still have VHS VHS TV combos.
I guarantee
it.
I'm just saying there are people – like don't underestimate the pace of technology. Anyway, we've talked about this a ton. Let's move on. Two, the official Kinect for Windows SDK beta is out today.
Mm.
I think it's the biggest news this week.
It's maybe I stacked a couple of good things further down just so that we wouldn't burn it all in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So this is so that people can do Kinect hacks. All those – remember last year – or I guess earlier this year – I set up a couple of workstations and tried to do a bunch of Kinect hacks on the happy hour, and it was a complete debacle because there's 15 different libraries and nothing ever works right.
Match the shadow puppet. I remember
that
one.
Yeah, exactly. So
and people were doing this anyway. I mean, this is the whole point, right? People were creating these amazing kind of Skynet, you know, remote control helicopters that could pilot themselves with Kinect and stuff.
Like at Maker Faire, we saw $500,000 robots that were using Kinects for like broad navigation stuff because it's really cheap sensor and it works better than the things that cost $30,000.
So Microsoft obviously is seeing all this great potential and they're now trying to make it easier for people by releasing like an official set of tools that people can use.
So I haven't looked at what the requirements are for the SDK, but I think their hope is that people who are doing cool science projects with them will start using their official SDK, mainly so it's easier for people to replicate. Because right now, if you want to try a bunch of different Kinect hacks, A, most of them aren't published. They're just videos. And B, even if they are published, like I said, you have to have this system set up for the right Kinect library, the right drivers essentially, or else it just doesn't work. And uninstalling and reinstalling the drivers, sometimes installing those drivers is like a six-step process. And uninstalling and reinstalling the different ones can take a long time and may or may not work.
But anyone now basically can plug a Kinect into a PC and with this SDK, you know, get it talking to it and stop goofing around, right?
That is the theory.
That's very cool.
I think it's pretty
and nice. I think it's a smart move on Microsoft's part to try and harness all this creativity that's going on because some of it I think is going to come back to them in a way that they can monetize.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think it's good.
What do you guys think the legality is for something like that? I mean, do they own any technology that the people produce?
No, it depends on what the license terms are. I would be surprised if they did that because nobody's started squawking about it yet. I haven't read the license myself.
Yeah, I don't think there's like anything you create using this we immediately own or anything like that. But somebody could come up with a great idea that Microsoft could then appropriate or, you know, they could buy that technology or hire that guy or just copy it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and come up with some great idea that maybe, you know, someone else wouldn't have thought of.
Well, and the other side of it is that that Microsoft is going to definitely roll out the good ideas into – I mean, we're already seeing that with the Fun Labs.
I played around with this week and didn't think was very good. Yeah. But, I mean, it's just at the beginning.
It's more fun when there's a bunch of people around.
And also at the end of the day when everyone's kind of tired.
You know what? You know what else makes it fun? When it works, which I was not able to make it do.
Which part were you not able to make it
work? The part where it says, put your face in this area and I will scan your face.
So you mean you knelt down on the floor in front of the Kinect?
Yeah, I had to contort myself into ridiculous – yeah, I'm praying to my TV.
I wasn't able to get that to work either. My living room is set up in such a way that it is not at all Kinect friendly.
It was good though when I had made my little avatar and it said, now record a voice message.
Yeah.
And I just said, fuck, shit, shit, fuck, shit, fuck.
Classy.
And it played it back, and it was hilarious. I giggled for quite a long time because that's my mentality.
Yes.
Yeah, but a tape recorder can do that.
It's true.
that's all you need.
It warps it, though. It makes it squeaky and high-pitched or something.
Okay, that sounds adorable.
Yeah, it did funny effects and stuff.
I have a question, though, about the Kinect. Do we need to have, like, a new version of the Kinect? Do we have to, like, wait a year and a half for, like, an actual hardware upgrade before this stuff starts actually working the way it's supposed to? Or are they just going to do, like, software updates to this thing that will actually improve it? Well, it seems like it is janky.
It sounds like Microsoft's already updated the firmware a couple of times in a way that has improved the sensitivity of the sensor.
Like they added finger tracking so you can pew, pew, pew with your hand.
Right.
I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a lightsaber, you can say lightsaber on, is my understanding. Goodness. I think this is the Kinect sensor that we're going to have for this generation of console.
Yeah, really? This Kinect sensor, I think, will carry over into the next generation. The next generation Xbox, I think, will be compatible with the current Kinect sensor. And then there may be a Kinect 2 that will come out like halfway through that generation.
That is an interesting theory, Gary.
So like 2 years, you think we're going to have this same Kinect thingy?
I would say 4 or 5.
I think you'll see Microsoft probably announce a new Xbox next year that will use this Kinect. And then at some point in the generation of the next Xbox, they'll probably upgrade the Kinect. So it's kind of like these TikTok cycles.
Yeah. I don't know that they're going to carry the peripheral over across generations, but they may. I mean, that's an interesting – it's an interesting thought. So in order to increase the resolution, they'd have to increase the number of infrared beams that go out. And, you know, because you've seen the pictures of that grid in your living room, they'd have to increase that a ton. And I don't know, I don't know exactly how that stuff works.
I think it's already getting better though. It's people learning how to use the hardware better. Like, so I picked up Child of Eden this week, which I love. And in terms of the Kinect response and how well that hardware works with the game, it's really, really impressive. I think of all the Kinect stuff that I played, that's the game that I'm like, wow, this makes me a believer that Kinect can be really cool. What?
What are you doing in that game?
Have you played Rez?
Yes.
It's Rez, but you play it with a Kinect.
So the way you fire is you like move your hand to target like you do in Rez.
Basically, each of your hands is a crosshair that you can move around the screen. But the tracking and the sensitivity of it is. This is why I think they can improve it through software and as they learn how to use the sensor better, is it's already better than the stuff that we saw at launch. I think it seems so because I think it's better coded for the Kinect. It's whatever firmware updates they've done have also helped.
I'm excited to see Final because the last time I played it was at GDC, I think, and it was still a little weird control-wise.
Yeah.
But that also could have been because we were in a big-ass room full of people. It was like a cocktail party and, you know, that's not an ideal situation.
And the great thing is it's only tracking the upper half of your body, so you can also play sitting down.
Do you not do the foot stuff anymore? At GDC, you use your feet to fire off bombs or something.
No, there's nothing like that.
It basically...
That sounds like the definition of, like, Waggle to Pet Tiger. If you're, like, using your feet to shoot guns.
Yeah, that's not what...
It was like... You know, you're flailing around. Yeah. It wasn't a great experience. But the pullback and push to fire the missiles and stuff like that.
It works
really
great.
Well.
I mean, and it's the perfect kind of game for it as well because, you know, if you're familiar with those games, you know, Rez and Every Extent Extra and those kind of games, this is obviously an extension of that. So you're already in this kind of Lawnmower Man, cyber Eden future. Yeah. It's very transcendent and trippy and hypnotic. So the fact that you're moving your hands around in this space and controlling these things, I mean, it's really kind of, hallucinogenic, and it just feels perfectly suited to that kind of environment.
Miz's whole thing has always been about synthanasia. So.
Yeah, and this totally, I mean, it feels like, you know, by taking the controller out and you feel like you're kind of reaching into this world with your hands. I mean, this sounds kind of cheesy, but it really, you know, spend 5 minutes with it and you'll get it. It works really well.
So now the question I have is if you aim a camera at yourself while you're playing this and don't run the sound from the room and the game, but instead play Yakety Sax, are you going to look ridiculous?
Well, I think Yakety, as YouTube has shown, Yakety Sax can make anything seem ridiculous.
You think that the Yakety Sax effect transcends the dopiness of what playing the Kinect?
In the same way that power can make anything awesome,
Yakety Sax
can make anything awesome.
Wait a minute. What if you played power over somebody using the Kinect and sped it up? Would it be cool or uncool?
I think that would be pretty cool.
Is power sped up or not so much? I think
power is not sped up.
I think you slow down the person playing and then play power, and it's... You know, it's like the
okay,
video.
Okay, well, that would be cool. But I don't think somebody playing Kinect while sped up could be cool with any song.
But the great thing about Child of Eden is the music that's in there is already
really
perfectly suited for it. I mean, it's already – if you like that kind of
it's like Japanese trance music.
Ambient, you know, trancey, Genki Rockets type stuff, then you'll like this. What's that, Norm?
I do not.
That's racist.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think you'd pass up the opportunity to kind of, you know, let us know that your musical taste is superior to ours.
Norm used to like that, but he does not anymore.
What kind of music do you like, Norm?
I'm on turntable.fm right now, /whiskey, on the iPad.
Oh, is it working?
It doesn't play.
Is it not? So it's not Flash then?
It's not Flash.
No, it's HTML5.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
But it won't play the music.
It won't play the song.
Oh.
But I can
kind of defeat the object.
I can still DJ.
And what you can still do is criticize other people.
That's right.
Which is what you're really in there to do.
And I can still DJ. And 24/7 my taste.
Power.
You know who the master of that is, though, is Gerstmann.
Fucking Gerstmann. What was it he said last night?
When
it was
I
good.
I played a song and he said, This is one of the best five songs on the Romy and Michelle High School Reunion soundtrack.
This is a top five song in the Romy and Michelle. And I was like, wow.
It's
such a subtle burn.
He has it in a way where you're going, oh, wait a second. That's not a nice thing to say.
And then you're like,
I wouldn't put him past it for him to mean that sincerely.
I know. He keeps you guessing. He's a hard man to pin down musically.
That is a killer soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's a killer movie.
But no, if you look at it in the context of all these other comments, he's like the Don Rickles of Turntable FM. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about Google. Google Instant Pages. This is
really cool, isn't it? It's very clever.
This is what Eric Schmidt said. I think a year ago, maybe it was All Things D, where he said Google will predict your mind, will read your mind,
yes,
know what you want,
and it kind of is in a way, in kind of a magic, you know, a card shark illusionist kind of way. It makes you feel like that's what it's doing.
Well, they're using computer. Okay, so let's Norm explain. We had a big conversation about this when they were announcing this, because at first the thought was, this isn't very interesting, and then when we thought about it a little bit, then we kind of got turned.
I don't know
on
if I'll turn it
bit.
On. I've turned off. I'm going to turn it on. Instant.
Why did you turn off Google Instant?
Because actually, I like – okay. The way I use Google sometimes is I like looking at the page and then typing the URL, and I'm referencing something that I'm on the page.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
I want that text. And if the page is changing as I type the text, that ruins that.
Hmm.
Yeah. Again, I don't use Google Instant because I never search from the homepage. I will search
from the Chrome bar. You get it there too.
I'm not saying it's a search. Yeah. It's Google Instant is in Chrome, where as you're typing the URL bar – it'll load the page if you stop typing, or fill in
what it thinks is the best the thing you're typing.
But if it's
really?
A site, yeah. So if you like go to twitter.com, you start typing like twitter.com/, and you start typing letters, it will start loading the pages of those profiles if they exist before the full name you have
right.
typed
loading
out.
As in just loading in the background or actually,
actually
putting up Twitter?
Putting it up.
That's crazy. Oh, yeah. This is last year.
This is old news.
That.
This is September.
Yeah.
I've never noticed that, at least.
Maybe it's just an option in Chrome to turn on.
Okay.
I have it on my desktop PC here. I can show you after.
So what Instant Pages does is pre-renders the pages that it thinks are the results that you're going to click on.
Let's say I type in Kanye West.
And it brings
up a bunch of Kanye West results.
Right, yes.
It's already, even as I'm perusing all the results and going, which page do I want to go to, it's already rendering those pages
in
the background.
Visibly, in Chrome. Yes.
In the background. Yeah. So when I click on the link, it comes up instantly because it already did it.
Yeah, there's no, like, right, I think they said 400 milliseconds usually? To render a page on a relatively fast computer with a good connection.
Yeah.
And this gives you instant new pages. Now, it's like flipping a page in Kindle app.
Pages already
like that.
Come up pretty damn fast.
It's noticeably faster.
Okay.
Yeah. It just feels like you have the fastest internet you've ever been on in your life.
So this is clever. I like it. This is live now?
It's live if you have the right browser later this week.
Yeah. It's on the developer build right now.
Okay.
Beta. It'll be in beta this week.
Okay. Yeah.
So we talked about Chrome, the different Chrome builds a few weeks ago in an Ask Tester, or maybe last week. It seems like a long time ago. But basically, there's the main build, which is the default if you install. That's like what normal people should run. Beta is one version newer than that. So if current Chrome is 12, I think. Is that right? The next one is 13. And then dev is one version newer than that. So usually beta is feature complete and it's just beta testing. Dev is essentially an alpha build. I use beta all the time. It's super stable for the most part. Occasionally you have to reboot or something, restart the browser.
You don't want
to
be out on the bleeding edge of Canary though. Like that's crazy time.
Canary's a little different. Canary's dev or newer than dev. But the nice thing about Canary is it doesn't replace your default Chrome install. So you can run Canary and beta or main if you want. So you're not, you know, it doesn't – If you run dev, it replaces your main Chrome install, which is a little hairy for people who use computers for both development or testing and real work. Anyway, the other thing that Google announced a couple other smaller things this week. These will be in the Google wrap-up, I'm sure. But Google Sync updates, which is important for iOS users because, you know, when you connect to Google and you search for something and it's not in your inbox, but you know it's like 3 days ago and it's just not synced on the phone anymore, and then you continue searching on server and it doesn't ever work, ever. Now it does. But only if you use Exchange to connect your iPhone or iPad or iPod Touch.
Isn't that just business people that use Exchange?
No. Google Sync is Exchange. It's an Exchange client for Gmail, Google Contacts, and Google Calendar. So there's no reason not to use the Exchange client instead of the goofy Gmail-specific version that Apple has in iOS. There's basically two ways to connect Gmail in iOS. Well, three. You can connect it with the Pop or IMAP, which is a bad idea. You can connect it with the Gmail shortcut on the Add Accounts page, which the last time I used it, I haven't used it in a couple of versions, but the last time I used it was actually connecting via IMAP and it didn't sync calendars or something like that. Or you can use Google Sync to connect via the Exchange client, Exchange server, and that gives you calendar contact syncing, mail syncing, push notifications, the whole nine yards. And now you can search on the server too, which is very good.
So should I go into my Gmail settings and like redo it or something?
The way you can tell if you're doing it is if you go to settings and then go to accounts.
Okay.
I'm looking right now.
I'm doing the same.
Hey, do you want to borrow my phone to see what it's supposed to look like? Mail, contacts, and calendars is the setting. This is the iOS 5.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yep.
So then you see accounts, and like you should see the names of your accounts.
I see my Gmail.
If you click over to your Gmail, and it has mail, contacts, calendars in there, not just calendars.
It says mail. I got mail, calendars, and notes.
Okay. If you see notes, you're not using Exchange.
Okay.
So if you just search for Google Sync on the internet, and it walks you through the process.
Okay. Basically, all right, I'll do that later.
It's a good thing to do. Make sure you have your contacts backed up.
But, you know, iTunes. When iOS 5 comes out, I'm just going to be using the iCloud stuff for all the syncing. So I don't really need the Google stuff.
Well, you could do that too.
Because I'm already one of the Mobile Me suckers. So
did you get money back?
No, they just, you know, my Mobile Me wasn't due to renew for a few weeks anyway.
Oh, so they're just going to keep your money?
No, they just won't charge me.
Oh, that's nice. Are they going to refund the last 10 years, though?
I wish they would.
They should.
I'm by refund the last 10 years, I mean, like, I actually want the time back, not just the money.
Two extra years.
You want to go back to being 36.
You know, I thought at least Jobs admitted that they fucked up with Mobile Me. I mean, he went up on the stage and said, that was not our finest hour.
Yeah.
He was okay with saying that because he already sacked all the people involved.
Did he sack all the people involved?
Yeah, there's a story about him.
I know, didn't he? He got them all in the you know, one of these atrium type areas at Apple and said, "Why the fuck doesn't this work?"
Yep.
Wow.
And that team was not the same.
Wow.
Staff.
I think the story that I heard was he gathered all the Mobile Me team and said, "Can someone please tell me what Mobile Me is supposed to do?" And like everyone's going,
They put their hand up
and goes, "It does this, it does that, and it does this." And he goes, "Right, why the fuck doesn't it do any of that then?"
Oh.
Did you get any use out of it during the entire time? I mean, like,
email address?
I don't use the email address. But the calendar and contact syncing does actually work, and it is a preview of what the larger iCloud experience will be like. If Will gives me a new phone number, mm-hmm. I type it into my contacts. Yeah. When I go home, it's already going to be on my Mac. It's going to be on all my devices.
I have that with the Google Sync.
It happens instantly.
And have since, well, probably since version 2 of iOS.
Yeah.
That's been a thing that worked for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a new feature.
Right. I have it through my ecosystem, and you have it through yours.
Right.
So
mine's
what?
Just better.
What do you want to do? Like measure our penis sizes or something?
What are we doing here? We got to calculate TMIs. Yeah.
Okay. They're looking daggers at each other right now. You're across the table from each other, so it's
Google Speedy. SPDY.
Ew, I don't like that word.
What's going on now?
It's an acronym.
Is this another one of these nonsense words?
It's an anachronism.
Words?
It's not.
It's an acronym.
You're an anachronism.
Oh, what does it stand for?
It doesn't matter. It's a HTTP replacement. Basically, do we care? Is this interesting?
Don't care.
So HTTP is the protocol by which hypertext transfers across the internet. It stands for the Hypertext Transfer Protocol.
I knew that.
Brilliant. Do you know what HTML stands for?
That actually might not be right, actually, when I think about it.
Hypertext.
I know this one.
This is easy.
What?
HTML?
Yeah. Hypertext markup language.
Hypertext markup language.
Boom.
I got the first two.
It was on the tip of your tongue.
I said hypertext.
Oh, HTTP is hypertext.
You were halfway there.
Okay. So HTTP, basically, there's a whole bunch of stuff that it doesn't do because when it was developed, the assumption was that the web was going to be, you know, a bunch of flat, simple, single HTML files. And now, you know, there's like 55 million things that get transferred. There's like 300 files that get sent to your browser when you connect to a website. And so basically stuff to make the web faster.
Right.
Kind of nerdy stuff, though.
That's kind of cool. What is it? CD?
SPDY.
So instead of going to HTTP, we'll get all our URLs will start with SDP. Well, I can't even say it. It's stupid. I don't
say speedy.
Speedy.
Speedy. That's even worse.
I would guess that probably they'll still go to HTTP, but this stuff will get rolled up into HTTP into a new version of HTTP.
So this is just stuff that will just happen and it's not going to have a noticeable impact on my life.
Okay. Speaking of things that didn't have a noticeable impact on your life, the IPv6 test day was last week, Or was it the week before? It was last week.
Not test day. It happened.
Well, it's not, but it's not permanent.
Well, yes. Internet Protocol version 6.
Yeah. Your old IP addresses are obsolete.
Yeah, we ran out of IP addresses.
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah.
We did. That happened in February, actually.
Yeah.
And
we thought the world might end, but everything's been cool.
Now there are bajillions more IP addresses.
Oh, they just added this new thing, added a bunch more?
We're in a different system now. There was a website you can go to check, see whether your internet provider was compatible and whether you could access sites. And you could, so nothing happened, really. It was 6, 8, 11. Very nerdy day.
Yeah, the lesson is that most enterprise networks aren't ready for the switch. That's what this website at information.
They're not ready for the switch? Meaning what?
Yeah,
what's
so
go
basically
wrong?
Routers have to be upgraded and different things have to. There's a whole bunch of behind the scenes stuff that has to happen. And people have to have IPv6 capable OSs, which I think are Windows XP post SP3 and newer versions of Windows. Wait, and I guess OS 10.
So they basically switched the entire internet onto a different system and nobody noticed.
They didn't.
That's quite a trick.
They didn't. Hold on.
That's just one step closer to the, you know, robot apocalypse when they start like pulling the rug out from under us. And
yeah,
here's the thing. It happened. Singularity again.
Here's
check boxes.
Here's the singularity and the robot apocalypse aren't the same thing.
Thank you, Gary.
It's IPv6 traffic.
In the singularity, we become robots, right?
Well, that's best case scenario.
Okay. What's the worst case scenario?
Robots apocalypse. But it's not necessarily the same thing.
Robots don't want us to become them.
So robots are taken over one way or another. It's just a question of where on the how it happens on the scale.
No. There's different stuff. We could transcend physical matter. There's all sorts of different stuff that happen in the singularity. The whole point of the singularity is that it's a point beyond which we cannot know what happens.
Yes. Just like animals could not imagine industrial revolution.
Right. All
beavers could,
possible outcomes
imagine
converge.
The industrial revolution.
We could just end up being, you know, converting everything into computronium. You know, little bits of matter. Each one is one.
Oh, this is like what we were talking about, how we could all be like bioluminescent clouds and things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
I have no desire to be a bioluminescent cloud.
You say that, but what if it meant what if it meant, for example, that your entire body was a hypersensitive erogenous zone?
Right. Right.
There's a tuning fork for that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you could be Galactus.
Yeah.
That's what he is. You don't want to be Galactus, Norm?
No. You don't want to eat planets? Yeah. Yeah. See now he likes it.
Yeah, you're going to be the only one not eating planets. And
just think of all
terrible.
The possibilities for winning.
hold on. But if we're all eating planets, there's like 6 billion of us already, and there's only 9 planets. 8 if you use
the solar
in the solar system. There's infinite planets.
Space is really big, guys.
Yes, but we'll have transcended, you know, concepts of traditional, time and space travel.
I mean, if we're erogenous clouds, we're not going to fucking leave the planet.
Yeah,
it's
why would
be
you want
one big planet-wide orgy all the time?
Why would you want to go anywhere? You just stay home all day, erogenizing yourself.
Civilization will collapse.
What is it you do?
Somebody will be like, "Hey, flip on the hairdryer to the one guy that didn't transcend," and everybody's going to go, "Wee!"
But doesn't society collapse at that point? If we're all at home pleasuring our cloud selves.
Well, for cloud selves, do we have physical
nothing
needs?
Nothing gets made.
Norm is cracking up.
Fake outtake started early today.
Oh, yeah. Okay, rest of the news. Acer lowers forecast for tablet notebook shipments from 2.5 to 3 million from 5 to 7 million.
We really went from the sublime to the mundane, didn't we?
Back to
this is a Gary Whitta story.
Like, what if in the future we're all robot clouds? In other news, Acer's tablets. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
That brought us right back down to earth with a thud.
Oh, my eye hurts. yeah.
Stop buying those cheap eye wipes.
So, God damn it. So, basically, Acer is saying, hey, tablets maybe not as much of a thing for us as we hoped they were going
for
to be.
Us. Yeah, because they've taken a look at the market and realized they've got no fucking chance. That's why.
Right, right. I mean, that kind of seems – I think their official thing has been that the European market hasn't recovered as fast as they had hoped it would. I think they're blaming Greece and Ireland on that, but I'm not entirely certain.
Oh, they're blaming the economy
maybe
on this?
Maybe Portugal. But it seems to me like it's probably oh, shit. It turns out people want to buy iPads, not tablets.
Yeah. And Acer, I mean, what are they talking about doing? Like Android-powered tablets? Is that what they were going to do?
Yeah, that's what Acer does.
Right. So did they actually ever make one? They bring one to market yet, did they?
No, they There's a prototype. I'm not sure if well, it actually.
Again, the fact that we didn't even know the answer to that off the top of it tells you why they're not going to be successful in the market.
They have a honeycomb tablet, is what I'm saying.
So are they basically just, are they throwing in the towel and saying?
No, they're not throwing in the towel. They're just saying we're not going to.
It's one of those things where these companies, all the CEOs go up on, they went up on the stage, you know, at their CES or on CTIA time or did their own press conferences and showed a prototype tablet and said, we're going to enter the tablet market. We know this is where the future is, and we're going to make the best tablet, and people are going to want it. And then they realize people don't actually want it.
And also they can't make the best tablet.
Yeah, that's the real problem with all this stuff is the Android tablet market, like, it's already oversaturated with things that don't make
Well, there's enough. Only three tablets out right now.
Yeah, but that's still two more than the iPad.
Well, no, there's like 16 versions of the iPad.
Which is what people actually want. Wow. Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's
Well, I mean, no, but here's the thing. I mean, the Android stuff hasn't taken off that well because the initial tablet was kind of a stinker and priced badly. I mean, the Zoom, while neat, wasn't something that I would call competitive with the iPad.
Same with the Tab.
The original Galaxy Tab, which wasn't really a tablet but a big smartphone. I mean, it wasn't running a tablet OS. It was running
– We haven't yet. I mean, iPad's already halfway through its second generation and a serious contender has yet to emerge.
No, it's not halfway through its second generation. It came out in March. It's June.
All right. So we're well into – We're comfortably into the second generation of the iPad. And a serious challenger has not yet emerged.
Well, I think the Playbook had that potential and then they whiffed because they didn't have an email client on
there. And then also the 10.1, which comes out in a day.
This week, yeah.
Right. That's supposed to be good.
The 10.1 and the 8.9 I think they're the real first consumer-friendly.
Well, 8.9 might not happen, but that's a separate story.
Oh, really?
Production problems.
Oh.
Oh, wow. That sucks.
The ones we saw at CTIA, it turns out they might have been too thin. They're non-working prototypes.
Interesting.
That sucks for them.
I mean, the thing is, the Zoom, I think, was essentially a dev tablet for people who wanted to build Android apps, needed something to buy.
But they charge $800 for it.
That's why they charge $800 for it.
It's also for Commander Shepard lookalikes who like to float around in robot eggs, like on the TV commercial.
Yes. Yes. You know who has a really good TV commercial?
Who?
Is the Sprint Nexus S 4G commercial. Have you seen that with the kittens?
No.
Oh, the one that says, like, there's now room for even more cats on the internet?
Even more cats on the internet? Yeah. It's a fantastic
ad. I hate that.
Yeah. The Nyan cat's in it. Can't go wrong.
Wait, what cat's in it?
The Nyan cat.
What is that?
Oh, I guess you haven't heard of it. It's just a big internet.
Oh,
theme.
I guess you haven't heard of it. This is why we don't do Wang cats.
It's too underground for you, Norm.
I used it against you.
I know exactly. What
I used to like the Nyan cat, but now I don't anymore. It's too mainstream. Yeah. My mom sent me a link the other day. I mean, she's pretty cool, but
you know, YouTube.
I don't know, man.
That's pretty good.
Is the Nyan
YouTube
cat the one that has like the rainbow bars
it's like,
behind
it? Looks like
it?
Cyan cat, but it's NYAN.
Because I saw some kind of Chrome extension where you can turn all your progress bars into that.
Yes, today.
Yeah,
it's a terrible idea.
All your YouTube progress bar is rainbow now.
Yeah,
for the video. Sweet Jeebus.
This is in when they. When we eventually fuck up this society and blow ourselves up,
eventually.
And like years later, aliens or robots or whatever come along and dig us all up.
The necromancers of
they will look back on this age as another age of cat worship. In the same way that we dug up ancient Egypt, went, how weird that they worship cats. They're going to dig us up and go, look, 80% of their traffic on the internet was worshiping cats.
Right.
No wonder the society collapsed.
This cat can has cheeseburger.
Yes, right. They worshiped a god called Maru. The great cat god.
And a competing sex worship, Domokan.
Yes, that led to the great long cat wars.
Right.
One was a piece of shit.
the battle of the aquarium bucket.
A friend of ours came over for dinner at the weekend and was talking about Maru. And I said, what's going to happen when Maru dies? Like, they're just going to have to close the internet. And he was so offended. Like, it had never occurred to him that might happen.
Wait,
like,
who is Maru? I'm serious.
Oh, my
now.
God.
Oh, you've probably never heard of it, Norm.
No, I'm actually being serious.
You've never heard of Maru?
No, I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Maru is a cat that's owned by someone in Japan.
Okay,
and he's overweight.
Wait, is this the cat that jumps in boxes?
Jumps into boxes. Yes.
Okay,
that's Maru.
He started that,
and he does hilarious things.
Oh, this is old. This is super old.
Yeah,
like Tom Edwards showed me this like 3 years ago.
He's still alive though. He's still kicking.
Well, but sometimes animals die. It's like the pancake bunny. The pancake bunny dead.
What?
Oh my
god! Pancake bunny.
You never
the bunny
when
he
rests the pancake
on
its head.
Yeah. And the shoe.
Oh, okay.
Another Japanese animal phenomenon.
Yeah. I wonder if that dog that stares at cupcakes is still around.
It's too sad.
I don't know that
one.
You don't know that one?
No.
The dog that looks at the cupcakes and looks really sad?
I do like this idea that someone was appalled at the idea that Maru could die.
Well, I mean, it makes me wonder if there's going to be a celebrity pet graveyard.
Yeah, that could happen. Internet pet graveyard. Yeah. Or the famous...
They could just do an internet meme graveyard, like have like the toxic
we already have
chocolate.
That.
What?
Like,
it's called
NBC.
Yeah.
Ah, good point.
Like, I don't want to think about the dog from Dogfort ever dying. Like,
maybe he's already dead.
But he's safe in his fort, though, right? So nothing can harm him.
Yeah, but you know
what? Hey, guys, there are some iPad HD rumors again.
Ooh, yes, I like these rumors.
Hey, let's talk about some iPhone rumors.
Yeah, so.
Okay, yeah.
So you may have been right. The iPad could be halfway through, iPad 2 could be halfway through its second generation already.
You're saying that it could be a shortened generation.
There is another round of the, hey, there's going to be another iPad before Christmas rumors.
Now, this is based on people digging around inside the guts of iOS 5 and finding support.
Specifically,
much higher
the Twitter
resolution.
Client. Yeah, right. I think the Twitter icon is like double size.
Well, it's going through the logic to be for iPad. There's absolutely no concrete evidence either way. People are digging into iOS
manifests basically
and finding high resolution graphics for icons that would presumably match a resolution of what was
they're
it?
Quad resolution icons.
Quad resolution icons of 1024x768 of current iPad.
I mean, right. There's
2560x1536.
And the reason they tied this to a release potentially this fall is that they're saying this is when iOS 5 is going to come out, and so the new iPad could potentially come out. That's a huge leap when new iOS 5 comes out.
So yes. I mean, there's no question that. This is something that's going to people love the Retina display on the iPhone. It's obvious that on an iPad it would be wonderful. People would love that. It would be great to see that level of fidelity on a bigger screen.
So and also from a technology standpoint, it is possible. Like companies such
Samsung
as Samsung
is making panels that are the right resolution.
Yes, the question is, how quickly can Apple get the technology to a point where it's affordable enough to put in these devices? You don't know.
We don't know. Apple controls the supply chain. They control the vertical and the horizontal.
Yeah.
I think Apple – I mean I don't think these panels could be produced cheaply enough that Apple could keep the same price of the iPad. And that would lead me to believe that they might have like an iPad HD and split up the iPad lines.
That worked really well for the Kindle with the DX, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
DX, that's different.
I saw a guy with a Kindle DX the other day.
They're huge, aren't they?
Old?
Oh, my God. It was enormous. He was on the airplane with me and he – well, first off, he used it during the time when you're not supposed to use electronics, like during the takeoff and landing times.
Did you glare at him?
Like the flight attendant would walk by and he'd have the thing closed. And as soon as he knew that they were strapped in, he'd open it up. And I was like, dude, that is – you're taking our
it's
life
like,
into your hands,
it's
man.
It's like that and the Jumbo DS are like these – just examples of these products are like you just made it too big. Like, but it's like Stonehenge. It's like, so the real one will be this size? Like, what do you mean the real one?
I think the right size. I mean the
– yeah, the real one will be bigger?
Yeah.
What do you mean the real one?
The real Stonehenge. That was just a practice one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the confusion.
What are we talking about now? I'm confused.
I'm doing Stonehenge in reverse.
Oh.
You've seen Spinal Tap, right?
Yes.
Okay. She builds the Stonehenge model.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And thinks that that's actually what they wanted was a 6-inch Stonehenge.
Yeah, okay.
Right. The point, the joke, this is going to kill all the humor. But the point is,
can you keep explaining
the DS? The DS and the DX look like they just got the wrong sizes at the factory.
You think
went,
it's like an
really? You want
to imperial?
Yeah, really? You want it this big? Okay,
yeah.
But there's no actual real reason for them to be that large.
It wasn't that funny?
Like it's like they took the window display, like styrofoam ones out of the window, and said, "Okay, we'll make it like this."
And when I go to the Apple Store and they have those massive mock-up iPads that are like 4 feet tall, I kind of wish they were real.
Yeah,
I would totally buy one of those to put in my in the office. I think
it'd be great.
A 4-foot iPad behind apps of the week.
Absolutely. So Retina iPads,
splitting that off, it wouldn't be a bigger size iPad, just high resolution.
I mean, just because they're starting to build support in doesn't mean that it's coming anytime soon.
They're planning for the future.
Yeah.
No, my point is that I don't think even whether it's this year or next, even if it was next March, I don't think we're going to see a $500 16-gigabyte iPad with that resolution. I think it's either going to be more expensive. Or it's going to be a separate iPad.
Well, in the past,
I don't like the idea of them kind of fracturing the product line.
I don't think they'll do that. Apple has a history of not doing that.
So I think they'll raise the price. I don't think they could sell.
I don't think they're going to raise the price either. iPad 2, they obviously work to keep the same price.
That's wildly optimistic.
Here's the thing.
Unless manufacturing somehow changes and
Look, well, manufacturing always gets better.
By the time the iPad 3 comes out, whether even whether it's sooner or later, there's going to be more competition in the market. They need to.
You're talking about a device, potentially
imagine
with a screen
a
resolution
device.
Of
the same as my 30-inch desktop monitor.
Was it 2048
by 1536 or thereabouts? Doesn't matter.
Higher resolution than
better than HD
than a 24-inch monitor.
Yeah.
Higher pixel density because it's a 9.7-inch screen with a computer built inside in that form factor for $500.
Here's the thing. Apple has always made bets, long bets on technology. They did it with flash memory in the first iPod Nanos. They did it in flash memory again in the iPhone. They did it on LCD screens. At the time, the iPhone 4's Retina display, I hate calling it that.
I know you do.
But the time they released that, literally – that was a product that people thought couldn't be manufactured at the price that they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Apple is better at supply chain than anyone else in the world, and they will push the manufacturers, even if it means going to OLED or something cheaper
and worse.
But that's
because iPhone's subsidized. This is a MSRP. This is a $650 phone.
I understand that. I mean, Apple – the thing is Apple is willing to – is willing to bet on their supply chain being right. And the thing is, if they get 3 months out when they start building the devices and realize that they're not going to be able to do the screen at the right resolution, they just push it back a year.
Oh.
But the double resolution screen, I mean that quad resolution screen, I guess is what we should call it, is essentially makes whatever the new iPad is a must upgrade for anyone who's bought an iPad so far.
It's a must upgrade for anyone who has $500.
Right. My prediction for this, the whole big picture prediction, is that the iPad 2 will have a full year life cycle.
Or at least, at least 10 months.
So in like March, whenever it would be the 1 year anniversary, you know, the first one got a year. This one will get a year. By that point,
2011 is the year of the iPad 2.
Yes. By March 2012, you'll see an iPad 3, and by that, which will have the Retina display, because by then they will have figured out the supply chain and the economics of it. That's my guess.
I think it's reasonable. Logitech's MX 518 successor, the Logitech G400. The 518, really incredibly popular mouse. It's one of the early adjustable resolution DPI mice. So you could, you know, go from sniping to quick action. It was the traditional, you know, Logitech kind of gentle hump with the two trigger buttons on the thumb. Great mouse, optical mouse, one of the last good optical mice. They're re-revving it. They're doing it with a higher resolution, still optical sensor, it seems like, not a laser sensor. But it's going to have a 3600 DPI sensor. It seems kind of exciting. Although the resolution, from a DPI standpoint, it doesn't go as high as the laser sensor. So people got really excited about it. I'm not exactly sure why, but I guess a lot of people have a lot of love for that mouse, the 518.
Yeah.
You were a 518 user, right, Norm?
I was a 518 user.
It had
bullet
holes.
I was a G5 user.
Oh, you went straight to the laser version.
Yes.
Norm used that mouse before it got popular.
That's what I was thinking, too.
When it became mainstream, you had to find something else.
No, I know exactly. I'm using the.
Now my mom uses that mouse.
I'm still using I guess it's made by Mad Catz, but what's it called?
The Rat.
Yeah, the Rat.
Oh,
seven,
really?
Rat 7.
Cyborg 7.
You've totally stuck with it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it looked awesome, but I wasn't sure if it
I'm
would.
Still have, using it. Still love it.
It's awesome. The new hotness.
It's the old hotness.
It's old now, but. That's the thing. How often do you change mice?
I haven't changed mice since the G9 came out.
Building new mice. I mean, Razer puts out new mice. It seems like every 3 months they have.
But I think they're using the same body styles now and just changing the sensors.
No, I think they're using the same sensors and changing the body styles. And just saying this one's made for WoW and this one's made for Tron and this one's made for.
Well, but they announced a new Mamba a few weeks ago that has dual sensors, optical and laser. And
yeah, dual sensors is their new innovation.
Well, and they also released a laser Death Adder, which is my all-time favorite Razer mouse. So.
Should say laser Death Adder?
Laser Death Adder, yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's a pretty metal
name. I might have
name.
To pick that up.
Yeah, you're going to buy that just on the strength of the name alone, right? Yep. TiVo at the cable show this week announced the Premiere Q and I can't remember what the dumb terminal end of that is. But basically, the TiVo Q is a quad tuner TiVo.
Hold on. Wait, what? Hold on. Norm's
Why
confusing
is Norm
me.
Distracting
Norm's
you?
Showing me things on his iPhone. I'm trying to listen
Are
to you.
Are these offensive responses
no,
to that tweet that you posted?
No, it's legitimate. It looks like it's from Mac Rumors.
Okay.
Is Apple holding new Mac hardware updates until Lion launches? Well, we kind of assume that would be the case, right?
I want MacBook Air now.
There's no point putting the MacBook Air out now and then
I'll pay
putting Lion out.
Upgrade Lion later.
Well, you wouldn't have to because if it was 30, if
yeah,
it was,
get
it was within
free.
30 days, they'd give you the free
upgrade.
Well,
then why hold it?
Don't hold it, Norm.
Steve,
I think it's easier for them to just wait until they can put all the firmware on it.
Just go.
But Lion's going to be ready really soon, dude.
July.
You really can't wait for that MacBook Air,
can
you?
No, I cannot.
I'm telling you, it's so great having a MacBook Air.
Wait until yours is slow and old.
Yeah, yours will be two generations processor old.
You know, they're pretty mainstream now, Normie. Sure you want one?
Yeah, it's a $3 billion business phone.
TiVo Premier Q.
Yes. So it has four tuners.
Quad tuner TiVo.
So you can record four shows at once.
I think they said three shows at once, so I don't know what the Q is for.
Maybe you can watch one and record
that
three others.
That might be it.
But why wouldn't you be able to record something you're watching?
Science.
Anyway?
I don't know. It sounds really cool.
Is there ever a time when there's four things on television at once that you want to watch all
Hold
of those
on.
Things?
Hold on.
Thursday night used to be really bad.
Sunday night used to be like that.
You'd have to pull something off on demand and record that.
You can't record shit off on demand.
Well, that's the problem with on demand.
I had a problem on Sunday night recently when Celebrity Apprentice and CSI Miami and Game of Thrones were all crashing into one another. Yeah.
Which of these things is not like the other?
Yeah. Not difficult to tell.
I remember we had some major battles at my house over I can't remember what it was that was on Thursday. It might have been Friends and Survivor back when – in the early days of Survivor when that was still awesome.
The thing is, it doesn't even matter that much anymore. With Game of Thrones or a lot of these other shows, like if you can't record it, you can just grab it on demand, or Hulu. There's so many other ways to get it now.
So the TiVo thing, so the quad tuner thing is neat because it basically what they've built is a central server model. It works with Mocha, which is the multimedia over cable or Ethernet over cable or whatever it is.
That's like HDMI that also carries in Ethernet?
No. So this is basically a network using the coax that the cable signal comes in on.
Oh.
So that's how that's probably how your DVR is spreading stuff to the other rooms as well with your Comcast box. So basically you plug this into Ethernet in your house, you plug it into – or wireless, I guess. You plug it into coax.
So when I – let's say, for example, because I've got that thing where I can record on one box and watch it back on another.
Yeah.
It's sending that show through the coax
at a higher frequency
than
the normal cable comes in.
That's cool. Yeah.
So this bridges those two networks. So you can plug some of these boxes in via Ethernet. You can plug so in addition to the Q, they're selling a box that doesn't have DVR capabilities, which is new for TiVo. They've never done that.
Yeah. What's the point of that?
Well, the point of that is the same thing as your box without DVR. You use the one box as the central DVR.
Okay.
And then you buy these cheaper satellite boxes to put in other rooms.
Right.
And the neat thing is, because the TiVo bridges Ethernet and the Mocha, the coax network, you can plug them in with coax in rooms that you have coax, or you can plug them in with Ethernet in rooms where you have Ethernet, and you can use it as you'd like. And it also works with on-demand and all the other stuff.
Okay.
Now, there's a catch.
Uh-oh.
Always a catch, right? The catch is that the only partners they've announced so far are RCN and Suddenlink.
And these are the companies that would actually manufacture the boxes?
No, these are the cable providers, I assume. I've never heard of either of these companies, though.
No, so I've never heard of them.
I assume it's like some small regional cable company.
So it's only worth getting one of these boxes if you have one of these companies as
your
cable service.
Probably will only be able to get one of these boxes if you have this company. Like, you'll get it through the cable company rather than going straight to TiVo.com.
Are they just like running a test, essentially?
It's unclear. Sometimes TiVo does this. They'll do like a super limited announce of a new hardware, and then you may or may not ever see it in mainstream, or it may take a different form by the time it gets mainstream.
TiVo is still kind of hanging in there, I guess, but it seems like all these
TiVo's doing great. They won the EchoStar case.
Right, and they got a lot of money from that,
boatload of money. Billions of dollars.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, okay, so this was the problem. Right? So TiVo were the first company that – they basically invented this idea, right, of a DVR.
I don't know what the patent situation is on the DVR patents. They have a lot of patents around like season passes, which are basically the recording every episode of a show with flags for first run only, or how long you keep it and that kind of
stuff. All I remember is this didn't exist, and about 10 years ago, TiVo came out. I was like, 13, oh my God, this is 14. Pretty amazing. You can do this thing now.
Yeah. Well, Replay TV came out at about the same time.
Replay TV, that's right.
But they lacked a lot of like the tight integration with a kind of on-screen guide stuff.
But what it seemed like would happen is that next thing you know, Comcast and all these other people are just doing these kind of vanilla versions of the DVR concept.
Yeah, usually
which you get
badly.
Free with your cable subscription. So who's going to buy TiVo?
You don't get them free with your cable subscription. You pay $8 a month.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay $500 for a box. It just comes as part of your
over the years
account.
Thanks to Gordon's Law. Then TiVo boxes have gotten a lot cheaper. I think now, if you sign up for 2-year contract, they give you one for free at this point. But
right,
but yeah, it's but you still have a monthly fee.
But again,
you still have a $15 a month monthly fee.
Why go out and shop for a third party box
it's so
when
much better experience.
Comcast will just give you one?
It's a much much better experience.
It is, but most people are just happy with something that's good enough.
Well, that is the problem.
I mean, I still only have a regular Comcast box.
What did you say, Norm?
And plus on demand.
Yeah, I mean, the loss of on-demand, although supposedly you can have on-demand now with Premiere if the cable provider supports it, but what their incentive is to support that, I don't know.
But it's but EchoStar being one of these companies that ripped off their some of their presumably proprietary stuff, TiVo won a shitload of money saying
– I don't know. That's still an appeal, and I'm sure it will be for another 5 or 10 years. But yeah,
okay.
It's been a pretty good year for TiVo in that regard.
I mean, it does seem like a doomed service ultimately, though, right?
TiVo?
Yeah. No, I mean, just the sense that, you know, like Gary was saying, that you can get all this stuff on demand, offline, and everybody's computer are going to be hooked up to their TV soon
anyway.
I thought the future of TiVo, I mean, they do have a very strong brand. People still say, oh, I'm going to TiVo that show, even though they may not actually have a TiVo. Like, the brand awareness is there. The interface and the software is really good. I thought that the future was going to be that they would get out of the business of manufacturing their own boxes and license the firmware and the interface and the technology into these cable boxes.
They started by doing that with third parties that weren't the cable box manufacturers. The problem, I think, with that is that the cable box manufacturers are really, really cheap. You know, when you're talking about Scientific America or Motorola or whoever it is, they're like a $4 added cost is a massive, massive hit to their bottom line.
Right.
So it's a story we hear a lot in the PC world where you ask, why doesn't your Intel motherboard have USB 3 ports? And it's because that would add a $3 cost or 30 cent incremental cost to each motherboard sold. So the manufacturers,
a 30 cent incremental cost
for a billion motherboards is.
No, yeah. Means for consumers, it's extrapolated to $3-$4.
Yeah. I should look into TiVo again. I kind of miss the old bloop, bloop, bloop. You know, all that was so fun. It's such a nice environment.
Such a good piece of hardware. Although I have to say, I really don't like the Premiere boxes as much as the Series 3 boxes. Since they switched to a flash-based interface, it's gotten kind of slow.
Yeah, I remember when the Premiere came out, the Premiere XL, I was like, ooh, this could be good.
Yeah, and then it's
the interface was not great.
Like the interface is good, but it's not as responsive as the first one was. Sometimes you'll get that interface lag that just drives me absolutely batty.
Yeah.
Just on any device, not just the TiVo.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? Ani, do you need to head back and go back to work?
I am looking at my clock. I've been running down. It's about an hour.
It's only a semi-wanker.
No, it's a half.
No, it's a wung.
I don't know how that one works.
It's a wang cast.
See you, Anna.
It qualifies.
All right, see you guys.
Back to work.
See ya.
Okay, other stuff, couple of little small things. Boxy update is coming into home theater PCs. The stuff that's been rolling out to the Boxy box will be available for PC installs soon.
Yawn.
And
what else you got? Box? You still using Boxy Box?
I do every day.
Is that the one that has the weird kind of
weird shape one?
Okay, yeah.
It's the equivalent of the Viva Pinata box in the CE world. Nothing stacks on it.
Yeah, it looks like a modern art museum or something.
Kind of, yeah, it's all.
What is this? A center for ants? That's kind of what it looks like.
Architects and rescue people, like building restoration people, used a Parrot AR drone, that quadricopter. In Christchurch, New Zealand, to fly into a cathedral that had been damaged in the Christchurch earthquake a few months ago, and evaluate structural integrity and like what's going on in that building because it's not safe for people to go into.
I'm surprised Wi-Fi signals went that far.
I was kind of impressed with that too. I assume they must have used a big antenna.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they could use a pure air drone because it's. I mean, they must have some really good pilots.
Well, the software's gotten – we haven't flown ours in a while, but the software's apparently gotten significantly better. That's what all those people said at
E3. All right. It was huge at E3.
They had two booths.
Yeah, one outside and one inside.
Right. Jeff thought that booth was a trap booth though. He thought it was the kind of thing that if you were standing there too long looking, then they'd come and snip your badge and kick you out because it had been there 3 years in a row. So you were just a gawker and not a serious E3 participant. Anyway, that does it for what's in the news this week. I'm going to play the music, and then we'll talk about what we've been testing.
Just got more news.
I told you it was a bad news week. But this week, we've been testing a lot of good stuff. iOS 5, hands-on. Gary, you've had some time with iOS 5.
Well, I had like 30 seconds.
Oh, well, if you hadn't spent so much time tweeting offensive things on my Twitter account, then you would have had more time.
I almost didn't want to do it, but I couldn't resist, you know, thumbing down the notifications blind.
Yeah, and then the Twitter thing was there.
It's really nice. Like I said, I don't want it because right now, even though, you know, I can get the beta, it's kind of janky in a few ways. And it's all right for you to go put it on your disposable iPod Touch there, but... I rely on my phone. I don't want to jack it up with, you know, beta that doesn't work very well just to get an advanced look at a few new features. But how are you liking it?
It's pretty good. The weather is local.
Right.
So instead of having to say, oh, I live in Pacifica, and switch between the ones. It just looks
it follows you where you are. Okay, that's good.
When I'm in San Francisco, it says San Francisco weather. When I'm in Pacifica, it says Pacifica weather.
You know, now, that's good.
Let's make this clear. That's still not a widget, though. And someone said, oh, you know.
Why is who are you one of these people that gets hung up on widgets? You got to
have widgets. No, no, no. I don't have to have widgets. I'm just saying that
I like widgets.
I wouldn't consider that a widget.
I'm pro widget. I think widgets are good. But I mean, it's on the lock screen. Is it on the lock screen? Let me look.
No, weather is in notifications area.
But just while I was navigating around in the phone there, I saw that tweet that you wrote about toilet paper. And
you mean the tweet that you wrote about toilet paper and tweeted to my account?
But what was cool about it was that I got to see the notifications coming in. And, okay. You know, they're not the modular annoying ones anymore.
No, they're really
good. Modal, I guess they call them. Those modal pop-ups. You know, it's just a nice little clean revolving bar at the top of the screen that is giving you the notifications. And it's a really nice system.
Yeah, it's quite good. So the things that I like about it a lot are the notifications are hugely, hugely useful. We did a video about this. I'm not going to talk about it too long.
Mm-hmm.
Notifications are really, really good. The backup stuff, so it backs up your phone over the air. You don't have to plug it in to back up.
That
basically should you need to replace something, replace a phone, something's broken or whatever, instead of having to drag your laptop or you know not have your phone right until you get back home, you can just sync it over the air at the Apple Store and pull the latest backup back down. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we like that.
What else? The new music stuff. Oh, the four-finger multitask swiping on the iPad is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean
– just switch between apps?
Oh, just to – okay, page between apps.
Put four fingers on the screen. You move – swipe right to left.
So you don't have to bring up that tray anymore.
You don't have to bring up the tray. If you want to bring up the tray, you can by swiping four fingers up. If you want to bring the notification thing down, you just do down from the top.
If you've got a lot of apps open, though, that could still be a hassle because like the app you want might be like five pages away.
Well, the thing I find is usually I'm switching back and forth between like email, Twitter, and browser most of the time.
Right, just the things that you're using the most frequently. Yeah. What else do you like?
The iMessage stuff is kind of neat. Like it's not particularly useful right now because not that many people are actually using iMessage.
Yeah, but when that comes out, I think that's going to be the biggest deal. Like, you know, Leah... Everyone else – I'm not worried about that, by the way, Norm. Everyone else is that I know – well, not everyone, but you know, a lot of people are going to – if you're on an iPhone, I'm never texting you again. Yeah. I mean that's – it's. I'm never going to have to worry about
– you're not on a – oh, yeah.
If you're on an iPhone, I never have to text you again. So I've got a very low text message rate. Sometimes I go over it if I'm like away and I'm texting people a lot.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about that anymore. So that is very good.
You know, the thing –
I have a lot of friends with Android.
Yeah.
Do you? Yeah. Why?
I can't control what they use.
You could just not be friends with
them. Don't hang out
hang out with them. That's why I have to text them.
So the thing that worries me about the whole iMessage thing is the same thing that happened with Facebook. If you have an iPad and an iPad 2 and iPhone 4 or a fourth generation iPod Touch and you use FaceTime, then you can end up with a weird account situation where not all of your incoming FaceTime requests go to all the devices. Because, you know, when you initially set up FaceTime, you associated your Apple ID with your phone number on your iPhone. At least that's what I did.
Yeah.
And you can't associate the iPad with that phone number.
Right.
So that means if somebody sends you a FaceTime request to your phone number, it doesn't ring on the iPad.
So why don't you use something that is more universal, like an email address or something?
Well, that's what they should do, but...
But they can do that, right?
Yeah, but if you're but my point is, if you're sending iMessages and you put in, it says, oh, hey... Will's registered with his phone number. I'm only going to see those iMessages, I think, right now on devices that are that have the phone number associated with
okay.
them. Okay. Which so is a little bit weird.
You can't choose between text and iMessage.
You can't right now.
Okay.
There is a system where if iMessage can't get a message through it, it'll send a text instead.
Well, but you can't manually say, I only want to send text message.
Like, I don't know about that because we're using iPod Touch and it doesn't have texting capabilities.
Yeah, like, I'm fine with it on iPhone, but if like I don't necessarily want something I would normally get with a text message sent to my iPad.
Mm. Well, I just wanted to ring in both places because more often than not, if I'm at home, I have the iPad, not the iPhone.
I want the option.
Yeah.
Like, I don't necessarily want, like, if someone's using my iPad, like, what I would get as text message show up on the iPad.
I wouldn't. I'm never letting anybody use my iPad again after today.
Yeah. Basically,
you're learning finally. Yeah. Good for you.
Ask me again next week.
Yeah, next week. Here we go again.
I got it. I want the new
phone. So, my concern, like I said, is I've heard that some things don't, the beta is still a bit rough around the edges. What doesn't work now?
Well, Safari's a little bit slow. It seems like there's a pretty substantial hit on battery life just in general.
I heard that.
I mean, it's all
Netflix doesn't work. Some of the other apps
I haven't tried Netflix
use.
Yet, yeah. But I had heard that, so I didn't bother. I mean, my this isn't for normal consumption. I mean, it's clearly a beta
right.
to be expected.
Yeah, so I'm not ready to jump in yet.
I mean, if you're a coward and can't take the heat, then that's fine.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know,
just give me your phone. I'll set it up for you. It won't take 5 minutes.
But we were saying before the podcast, the amazing thing is this is why I'm almost kind of coming around to Norm's way of thinking about not feeling like he doesn't need the next generation phone is I'm actually more, you know, we know that there's a new iPhone coming because there has to be. We've seen
Apple likes making money.
Yes. We've seen iOS 5. I'm actually more excited right now by iOS 5 than I am the next generation iPhone.
That's because you haven't seen the next generation iPhone yet.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yes,
when Steve pulls it out of his pocket.
You're, from you.
And it's entirely possible that it'll do some things that will blow me away. But like, my imagination isn't coming up with the things that are going to make me desperately want the. I mean, of course, I'm going to get it because I get the new one every year because I'm that person.
Yeah.
But I'm not super duper excited about it yet because my imagination just can't figure out like what's going to make this one so much better. Okay, it'll be faster. It might have a sexier screen, but like. That to me does not add up as cool as all the things that I know iOS 5 does, which are actually really useful, like the notifications, iMessage, you know, the no PC tethering, all the stuff that we like.
Oh yeah, the like, no PC tethering, I forgot about that's really good too.
Oh yeah.
So can we do something next time there's an Apple keynote and they broadcast it live? Will you come in? Can we wire you up to all sorts of brain monitoring stuff?
They never broadcast it live.
Sometimes they do.
No. They haven't in the last couple.
No.
The last two they haven't.
I think CNN did a thing this year where it was like 5 minutes behind.
Big product ones typically.
They put up the keynote afterwards.
Right. But for a while, they were posting them live on Apple.com. If they're going to do that again, which they have done for big product announcements.
Well, if I'd like to wire you up. If you wanted, what I would do is forego watching it live and wait until you have like a copy of it that
oh,
you
I don't
can,
think
that
you can
just watch.
I don't think you can stay clean that long.
I did last week.
That's true.
I didn't watch the keynote until like 2 days
okay,
later.
Okay. Well,
I watched live blogs and stuff. I knew basically what was going on, but
let's do that then.
Now, why would you want to do this?
I want to see what your reactions are when the new phone comes out.
Why do you want to see that?
I think your heart rate is going to increase. You're going to get a little.
Oh, because I'm a fanboy, right? Okay.
Your anxiety is going to be very high, and then when there'll be a sense of relief.
If you want to do inside the, you know, put electrodes on my forehead and stuff, and do like inside the mind of a.
Of a fanboy.
Wasn't there a story recently that said something like the way that the pleasure center of a
yes,
Mac fans
just like religion.
Yeah, just like religion.
Yeah, but I think that applies to anybody who has a deep connection to platforms in general.
Yeah.
NVIDIA and AMD, Intel and AMD, all that stuff.
Yeah, applies. It's like when they say when people discuss politics, it's the emotional side of their brain that's being stimulated, not the rational yeah. side.
Norm, you
this won't be a problem when we're all luminous clouds. Luminescent clouds.
Erogenous clouds.
Yeah. We'll be nothing but erogenous zones.
That's the most important thing.
Your iPhone will just be another slightly smaller cloud.
I think the erogenous cloud might have to be the title of this podcast.
I've already wrote it down.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Xperia Play Review posted last night. Norm, yeah. What did you think?
I like the phone. I think if you like playing games, if that is a priority for you on Android, it's a phone you should consider.
So
seriously.
I'm interested in this because it seems like it's kind of a halfway category. There's up until now,
yeah.
There were two ways that you could do this. One was you could carry around your iPhone or your Android phone and have those kind of games and that be how you play games on the move. Or you could carry around an iPhone or an Android phone and, you know, like a DS or a 3DS or something like that and have the more dedicated games. The Xperia Play kind of seems like it's halfway between the two. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's actually I wish Nintendo made it.
Yeah, so
yeah,
you'd get some decent games
on
there.
If Nintendo made it, it would be a totally different
story. If Nintendo
sort of
made it, I probably would have bought one by now.
Yeah.
You'd be like buying a DS, and you also got an Android phone with it.
Right, because
yeah.
then you get SNES games, you get
Mario,
NES games.
You get the games that we actually like to play.
Yeah, I mean, because I think a lot of those 2D games would work really well.
On the Xperia Play, you know what's coming. Fucking Crash Bandicoot and that shit that, you know, that we don't really care about.
I mean... Part of it is that the early 3D games haven't aged very well. I mean, I think that's the problem with PlayStation, first generation PlayStation games in general, is that the same thing for N64 games, honestly. And what was the Saturn was the Sega's first generation 3D console, right? I mean, those games, low poly count models with low detail textures, barely being rendered, do not look like things. Like if you go play Perfect Dark, the NES N64 version, not the bad Xbox 360 version.
Yeah.
I have a hard time telling what looks like what. Like I just see a whole shitload of triangles and it's sometimes even hard to pick out background, foreground, like doors.
Yeah,
all
people
that kind
forget.
Of stuff.
You go, but you know, we have these nostalgic views of these games. You go back and look at them. You go, oh god, that's what it looked like.
Yeah, I mean, like I remember GoldenEye for the N64 looking completely different than it actually looks if you go back and play it again today.
I was talking to the Microsoft, a couple of the Microsoft guys at E3, and they were talking about, you know, this Halo Anniversary Edition that's coming out,
which is like an HD remake.
It's basically an HD remake. They're fiddling with a few things, but it's basically the exact same experience.
Those library levels,
but they're redoing all the graphics.
Okay,
you know, and but what's cool is you can press a button and it will switch between the original game,
oh, wow,
which looks exactly like the old Xbox game, same graphics, same resolution, everything, yeah, 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 and the, you know, the new version.
It's interesting because this is like the ultimate, this is the ultimate endpoint of the whole arcade remake for things that they did right around the launch of Xbox Live.
Yeah, now we can go back and start reimagining.
Oh boy,
start J.J. Abramsing these. But it's not even that. It's not like they're coming out a new way. They're literally remaking them. You know, it's like a shot for shot remake.
Probably just using better assets.
Yeah, but the point I was making is that I think it's good that you can flip back and forth, because I honestly think if you put the new, for example, the new Halo Anniversary game in front of someone, your mind probably go, yeah, this is Halo. I feel like I'm playing Halo games. Yeah, but do you remember what it actually looked like? And you click back and you go, oh, and then you see the difference.
Yeah, well, it's just like StarCraft.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, because StarCraft 2 came out, I went back
exactly
and was looking at,
I remembered it.
Looking at old StarCraft again for the first time. And it's like, holy shit, we played that?
And it was amazing.
How can you tell which one's which? They're so small.
Yeah.
800 by 600, 22-inch monitor. That's how you can tell.
Oh, my God. Oh, terrible.
Yeah, it's that whole revisiting the past thing, I think what we'll see is that people will start coming out with games that work better for that platform.
But when they're scaled down, it isn't like you're talking about like these crappy old games like the first generation Crash Bandicoot and like Bubsy the Bobcat and these awful games that are around in that era.
Yeah.
If you scale them down
That's
onto
you a, making judgments about I've never played any of these games.
But if you scale them down onto a cell phone screen, doesn't it kind of make it okay again?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, the Crash Bandicoot game controlled poorly was the large issue with it, I think, right?
Also, those games were not designed for mobile.
What matters is the games, and what can you play right now on the Xperia Play that's good?
You can play a bunch of emulator games.
See, this is what I'm saying. But like, what's actually officially in the store?
Oh no, there's some actual good Android games, like the top-down shooters and racing games work really well.
Okay, but is there like a particular lineup of games that are like optimized for Xperia Play?
That's coming later.
Oh, okay.
Well, the PlayStation Suite games are coming later.
Yeah, the PlayStation, these certified ones.
Yes.
Okay, they're not, but we don't have those yet.
Nope.
The point of the phone is it's a pretty good phone.
Shouldn't they have launched some of those games with the phone?
Well Crash Bandicoot's available.
That's the only PlayStation port game that's available right now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what comes in that store. The thing is, it's kind of a neat product. I'd much rather see that than another side slide. And the underlying point of the whole review is that they did a really nice job on the phone and that the gaming stuff is kind of secondary, but it's there as an option. And it worked well with emulated stuff.
Yeah. Mega Man.
I'm writing the Infuse 4G review as soon as we finish the podcast. So it's good. It's a good phone. Samsung did a nice job.
That's the one with the really big screen, right?
It's a 4.5-inch screen. It's very thin. It's surprisingly pocket-friendly.
Yeah, quite thin.
Yeah, it's very fast. It's a single core, 1.2 gigahertz. It's good. It's a good phone.
And fake 4G.
Fake 4G. The 4G is the one negative part of the review.
TouchWiz.
Oh, the GPS is kind of hinky too.
Mm.
But the tethering worked really well.
Tethering worked quite well. We used it in the airport last week in LA. Although that did, as with all other tethering phones, it just absolutely decimates your battery life.
That tethering hotspot.
Hotspot, yeah.
Something came out in some of the early Galaxy 10.1 reviews is that even though it's CTIA, we saw it with TouchWiz on there. It's actually not shipping with TouchWiz.
Oh, they're not? They aren't?
It's 3.1.
Good for them.
Yeah, and TouchWiz will be an optional upgrade later, but optional is a keyword there.
Oh, that's really good.
That's good.
I wonder if it'll be the kind of optional upgrade that if you fuck up and hit the yes button, you're totally hosed.
I would not be that surprised, yeah. But I'm glad that out of the box.
I'm glad to see between that and the effort that Google is doing now that we are finally seeing the decoupling of the actual naked Android OS and this garbage that they force on top of it.
Well, the irony is, of course, that stuff's finally getting to an okay place. But I still prefer the naked stock experience to the manufactured up one.
Right.
Also, I I'm going back to news again. Rumors of the new Nexus phone coming out possibly Thanksgiving.
Oh, I forgot about this.
New Nexus phone, 720p screen.
Didn't they just put out a new Nexus phone?
Well, they did the Nexus S4G
right.
For Sprint, which is just the same as Nexus S, but
okay.
Had 4G in it.
Typically, they do one with each. It seems like they've been doing one with each major release. Yeah. So there was one for Froyo. There's one for Gingerbread.
Right.
I guess there was one for Eclair. There wasn't one for Froyo.
And then this will be the one for ice cream sandwich.
Which right. would be December-ish, November sometime.
Hopefully late November.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll keep an eye on that as well.
Yeah.
I guess
the Nexus phones are always, you know, ones to watch.
They're the ones to get.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the YouTube controversy now, since that's what you've been testing, Gary? Or do you want to
what
talk
YouTube
about that?
Controversy?
You know, your favorite song being removed unceremoniously from YouTube.
Well, I think this is an example of what happens when, you know, something becomes very, very popular and there is the opportunity to make money. They want to, you know, they want to make money and not just give it away for free.
Yeah.
So, you know, Rebecca Black, you know, in Friday, it obviously was a popular, you know, kind of joke meme around the internet for a while. And people were kind of shocked when one day they go there to check it out. And now you got to pay $2.99.
By people,
to rent
you mean
it.
You, right?
Well, it seems like I didn't go there. I went there because somebody emailed me and said, oh, look what happened. But it seems like that I don't know how we're going to get to the bottom of this, but like 1 minute it's free, like any other internet video.
Yeah.
Then it's $2.99 to rent it, which
okay.
let's
for 72
face it,
hours
for like yeah for a 3 minute video is kind of ridiculous. I mean, you can buy the song for 99 cents.
Yeah.
And you can buy a video for $2.99 on iTunes.
The video
is as convenient as just hitting the URL.
No, but it's outrageous. And the last place you're going to get people spending money is YouTube, where they're just used to getting all this shit for free. It's like an endless spigot of content that no one ever has to pay for.
Yeah.
And then
that's what Google wants to hear.
So there was this $2.99 controversy. And then suddenly it went away and the video was free again. And now it's down completely.
Really?
Yeah. And then it was back and now it's down. I don't know if happens if you try
There's
to go
no
there now.
There's no place to listen to Black?
Well, all I'll say about that is life finds a way. Life breaks out. It establishes...
The video changes genders.
It establishes new territory. It destroys boundaries.
So
aggressively,
far,
perhaps dangerously.
So far, since this became a thing, you have successfully tweeted, and I'd say probably one out of four times you get me to click on it and the video starts. I'm like, oh, God.
That's because my tweets create a high level of engagement.
Oh, my goodness.
You're a thought leader.
We haven't talked about clout.
Let's talk about clout.
I don't
clout.
Want to talk
I've
about clout.
I've created a monster.
Why did you do this? I told you not to send him that link. I told you.
Well, was this like Monday?
Okay, so clout.
No, I guess
let's
like,
explain what clout is
late,
first.
Late last week.
Clout is a measure of your engagement with social
Holy
media.
Holy mother.
Oh, Will's matched me. No!
Bam!
Oh, my goodness. You were at 17. You know what? Fucking my toilet paper trick has backfired and raised your clout. I don't like this.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's start from the beginning. So it's clout with a K.
K-L-O-U-T
Norm.com. Norm tweeted or emailed me this the other day, and I'm like, what is this? And
he says, I said this will like destroy this. Your 30 minutes of your life, and it's actually destroyed your entire week.
So it's some kind of website that looks at your...
It scans your Twitter feed, Facebook feed, LinkedIn, all the different social networks.
Right, and it figures out how many people are responding to or sharing or retweeting the stuff that you post.
Yeah, did you tie it to Facebook as well?
Yeah, I tied it to Facebook as well.
Does it track Facebook?
Facebook is valueless.
It does Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. I'm not on LinkedIn, but I put Facebook on there. But it seems to be using almost entirely Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter is.
But it's not about your followers. Like, for example, you know, Will has more followers than me, but right now we have the same amount of clout.
It's interesting.
It's per tweet how much interest.
It's about relative engagement. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so how many
topics
unique,
too.
If you get retweeted or mentioned or replied to a lot, if you create activity,
it's internet wankery.
Yes, it's another way to measure your internet penis.
Right. I signed up for this a long time ago because there was a news story about it, and they were talking about giving away free stuff to people who have high clout, and I wanted to see if they actually did it.
Can you check my clout real quick? I haven't checked it in about 10 minutes. I need to know how I'm doing.
So anyway, Norm told Gary about this, and it has been damaging.
Oh, I'm still tied at 74. Yeah.
We're both thought leaders. I bounce back and forth between being a pundit and a thought leader. I'm not exactly
sure. See, my tweets are so good, they even raise Will's clout.
Oh, that's...
God damn it.
Hoo-ha. Boy, Norm, yours is really
Norm's
low.
Down at 59. Wow.
It's okay. I only associate myself outside of work with friends who have low clout to make myself feel better.
There you go. So anyway, yeah, cloud is another way to be internet to measure your
between
internet
this
length
and rate. My DJ points. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Everything's coming up winner.
I got no time for a real life. I'm like, if I'm not raising my clout, I'm raising my DJ points.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah,
you
both
are
of you
there at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
It's a logarithmic scale. Right, it's exponential, so it's easier to jump from like 30 to 40.
Oh, yeah.
Than it is to jump from 60 to 70.
Going up 4 points is
it's
a
like
big
leveling
game.
And WoW.
Absolutely. So, but unlike leveling and WoW, if you stop playing the game, your clout will go down.
Yeah,
oh,
fast
scores gonna go down.
They should add that to WoW.
Oh boy,
D level.
I would be -500.
You get D level.
Yeah, that's gonna be.
It's only a matter of time before they put that in.
Oh yeah.
Hey guys, what say we answer some questions?
Okay.
Are you done talking about clout?
I'm done. Yeah. If you have questions, podcast@tested.com. Keep them short. No WMA files. Use a microphone. Levelator. I think that's it.
And also,
one minute.
Don't send WMA
files. I said
files.
No WMA.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, this pure fruit popsicle that we had earlier has a pledge of purity.
I wish that I had another popsicle. It's getting real hot and sweaty in here. The first question comes to us from somebody who I don't know. It's titled My Song.
Hello, Tested Crew. This is Brian. I'm from Plainfield, Illinois. Fun fact about Plainfield, our school district is actually bigger than our town. So only two of our four high schools, Plainfield North and Plainfield Central, are actually in the city limits, or town limits, I should say. And so my question is, with the upcoming sandwiching and delicious ice cream of gingerbread and honeycomb, will the wireless tethering feature in Gingerbread carry over to the tablets, since it's already in there and Google's saying they're just merging the two? Do you think Google, any of the OEMs, or any of the carriers would want to disable that? And if they don't, do you foresee Apple countering it with adding that feature to the future iPads? Of course, this would be on only the 3G/4G enabled tablets and not the Wi-Fi only ones. Thanks. Keep the whole good work. Hope to have a Wayncast sometime soon. Bye now.
Wow, how blown is his mind going to be when he just goes, his question is on a Wayncast?
Yeah, that's going to be a good day. I think it's way too early to speculate about that. It seems like the tethering feature is going to be eternally tied to what the carrier wants. So yeah, I would assume that there will be no tethering on tablets.
Just like in iOS 5 where FaceTime over 3G is carrier dependent.
Yeah.
I feel like we're already moving into a post-tethering world. You know, it's all really about Wi-Fi hotspots and things these days anyway. Who wants to run a cable?
Well, he's talking about wireless tethering, the wireless hotspot functionality.
Oh, when he says tethering, I'm imagining. I make a distinction between, to me, tethering involves a physical cable.
Yeah. But, I mean, for all intents and purposes, though.
Yeah, it's establishing a connection.
Making a wireless hotspot. The thing is, even if you're using just the wireless hotspot feature, you're still going to have to plug it in somewhere. Because it just decimates battery life.
You know, speaking of tethering and going back to last week's Epic podcast, when we were talking about Nintendo Wii U and the controller.
Oh, this is a good point.
We assume that the demo units we were using at E3 were using the wireless video. They weren't. It was all tethered.
We could see that they were cables.
But we assumed that the cables were for security. So you could just run away with the controller. But actually, it was a video cable.
Right.
And
well,
so,
but surely the actual retail thing will be wireless.
Yeah, the retail.
Yeah, I would assume so.
I mean, that's the big selling point. But the point is that the wired demo units will obviously perform better in terms of latency. You know,
well, will
quality.
They?
I'm going to make the assumption that is
wired. I think that hardware is so early that a whole bunch of what we saw there could change. All the way up to what
the point is, we can't assume that that's going to be the wireless video experience.
I'm becoming more excited about Wii U the more I. Even though the picture doesn't feel like it's becoming any clearer, I think a lot of people are still confused about exactly what it is.
I'm going to go ahead and say the Chase Me thing was super duper fun.
Yeah.
Like, and if there are games that they also said it won't play DVDs or Blu-ray.
I don't care.
I got eight other things that do that. I don't know if I'm going to stand out in line overnight at Best Buy like I did for the Wii.
Yeah, you will.
I'm going to.
You'll have someone else do it and go over and play Wii U games the next day.
I'm going to order on Amazon. And just get it. On
I mean, Will buy one.
Yeah,
and then you'll
you'll come over here and we'll
play his Wii U.
No, I want my own Wii U.
I don't want
U.
him touching my Wii U.
Yeah, get your own Wii U. I'll just order it online.
Next question. Okay, so did we answer that question?
I don't know if we did. Maybe this is why we're not getting that many questions.
Yeah,
because people realize that we don't really answer them.
We answer them. We try. We answered the question. He said, do we think it's going to be merged? It's too soon to say. I don't think you're ever going to be able to get tablet. You're going to be able to do wireless hotspot off of a tablet data plan. I think that that is a very unlikely situation.
Yeah.
I think that the wireless hotspot may end up like whichever carrier first and says, hey, for your $60 a month, you get wireless data, wireless tethering or wireless hotspot data too. That carrier is going to have a good that's going to be good for that carrier.
If their network can handle it.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's always there's always that caveat.
Hey, Tested. My name is Jordan. Hey, Will. How are you doing? And I was just listening to the podcast from last week, and I just wanted to provide some insight. I know Will kind of – I know he said this before, but just about the whole Nokia thing. They're definitely a lot more successful in kind of like basically, yeah, other places besides the United States basically. I was in Kenya for 3 weeks, and the family I was staying with, like, they didn't have a landline or they didn't have a computer, but, you know, they had a Nokia phone. And, you know, they use it just to communicate, and they can also like do mobile banking and stuff with the phones. So I think Nokia does really well in kind of like emerging markets and stuff like that. I live in New York City, so I think I might check out that Melt grilled cheese sandwich place because I really love grilled cheese. I guess the iPhone app is not out yet. So maybe I think that seems like kind of a part of the fun. Maybe I'll check that out and see what it's like. All right. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. And where's the wiki? And where's the – I know, Will, you've mentioned the Zogarushi thermoses. You've mentioned it at least like twice over the past month. Is there an update on that? All right. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. Keep on testing.
I think this question was from last week. The Nokia phones are definitely – I mean, they have a big feature phone market in non-North American markets, well-established. And if you try the Melt, let us know how it is. We're very curious.
Hey, a crew from Tested. Bill here from Toronto, Ontario. Toronto is, of course, most famous as being the filming location for the smash hit blockbuster Police Academy 3,
oh, God.
Back in Training. My grandmother actually used to work at the place it was filmed at back when it was an insane asylum. So, if you ever hear anyone using the term, oh, those crazy Canadians, I assume those are the people they're talking about.
Or those rioters.
The insane Canadians my Nana used to take care of prior to the filming of Police Academy 3. Anyhow, I purchased an iPhone 4 back in December, and I'm starting to notice that my battery just isn't lasting as long as it used to. Now, I've seen a few apps here and there which promise to extend the overall life of the battery through proper discharging, this, that, and the other thing. So, my question to you is, have any of you tried these sorts of apps? Are they worth using, or would buying one put me squarely in the crazy Canadian territory? Any help, guys, is of course much appreciated. Thanks so much. I look forward to hearing your response.
I like how he tied that one all together at the end. It was kind of like an episode of Seinfeld.
I think he plotted that out.
Yeah,
wasn't a boot in there.
All the different story strands came together at the end.
Very good question.
So, well constructed question. Yeah. So, the short version, I haven't tested those. My assumption has always been that those have been scams. If people really want us to test them, we will. But I don't think that Apple gives any app developers low enough level access to the platform that they're able to actually do anything that's gonna fix the battery.
I haven't heard about anything useful on iPhone. I have heard on Android that there are some apps that can help battery life.
Those task killers are bad for a multitude. We've run stories about them.
So this is what you should do. Because we got our iPhones day one, Gary, day before day one.
Yep.
And I have not noticed battery
life. I've actually noticed battery life getting better.
Yeah, I have not noticed it getting worse.
I've never had a problem with battery life on this phone.
It's still lasting at least well over a day with normal use. So I think we each all have different recharging schedules and regimens.
I just charge mine whenever it's convenient.
I only plug mine into the car. I make sure I dock it every night.
It's always plugged in my car.
Here's what I do. Turn on the battery percentage notification.
Yes, do that for sure.
Always do that so you have at least some tracking of how much battery life you have. Don't plug it in. Don't do what Gary does. Don't plug in whenever. Plug it in when you're around like 50%.
You know what we should do?
50-40%.
We have three iPhones. They've been used three very different ways. We should fill them all up and do a rundown on all three of them and see which one wins.
Based on your
on your right. That that should be a test.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm or at least two. We don't have to, you know, you don't have to sacrifice your iPhone for the day. You but can you just borrow one of my phones if you need.
I like that because it adds a competitive aspect.
Yeah.
With the type of batteries inside the iPhones now, you don't want to complete a charge before you recharge every time. But you do want to complete a charge once in a while, like once a month.
It's not a bad idea to let it go all the way down
to the red.
No, I think it's a lot of
zero to the red, and then plug it in.
So the other thing I would say is watch your screen brightness. Screen brightness is the thing that seems to kill battery life faster than anything else for me. Of course, playing games also will kill battery faster than a lot of other stuff.
I mean, the auto brightness usually takes pretty good care of that, doesn't it?
I usually set it a little bit lower than half.
A little bit lower than half is what I'm used to.
And more if I'm outside or something like that. But also install the most recent version. I literally, after installing the 4.2.3 or whatever the most recent version is, I noticed my battery suddenly, like I'd forget to plug it in at night, and all of a sudden, and I'd wake up and have 48% battery still, which definitely did not happen when I first got that phone.
Right.
Well, some people are also saying, I mean, even though iOS 5 developer build is in beta right now, battery was much worse on that.
Yeah, because I think
it's got all the debug stuff running.
Yeah, I imagine that that's something they take care of, you know, before the final launch. Probably one of the last things they fix.
I guess that does it for questions this week. If you have a question, podcast@tested.com, all the other stuff I said before we started answering questions. And we'll be back next week with more. This is only a test for Norman Chan and Gary Wood. I'm Will Smith. Thank you guys for listening and stay tuned for the outtakes of fakeness if you so desire.
Hi there. I didn't see you.
Tested.
Norman Chan, do you have a pulse?
98 beats a minute.
That's way too high.
You know, I realized we forgot to talk about push notifications and location stuff. Both of those use battery. If you have like 15 apps that use location stuff all the time, that will eat battery.
Yeah, and they added that little thing. If you see that little arrowhead up in the corner of your bar, your top bar, that indicates it's using the GPS and it probably is not helping your battery.
Well, there are different ones. The purple one is okay. The blue one is the one that – the purple one just uses Wi-Fi and kind of wide access. The blue one is like super fine GPS.
Like
and
actually pinging the GPS.
Yeah.
And, right.
Yeah. So,
well, it doesn't ping GPS. GPS is just
– Yeah, GPS is just a – we should do a how-to about how GPS works. I know that people have done that before. So we had some topics we were going to talk about during fake outtakes this week.
Were we? What did we have? What was – what? I felt like we did.
I said that hoping that someone would remember.
I bought some new socks that I'm very happy with.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We were going to talk about. You bought those Hanes socks.
Huh? I bought some Hanes socks because I, you know, like socks, I just get tired.
Kind of a sock amateur, aren't you?
I'm not very efficient when it comes to socks. They're pretty cheap. I just like to buy new socks every now and again. I'm not quite like Robert Vaughn in Superman 3, never wore the same pair of socks twice.
Man, that sounds good.
That would be that. I mean, that's.
New socks every day?
That would be amazing. What a lifestyle that would be.
You know, if you do the math, probably isn't all that expensive.
It's very wasteful, though.
Well, it's wasteful for sure, unless you donate the socks.
But they don't take donated socks, I don't think.
If you want worn once,
yeah,
it's like buying coffee. Don't buy coffee a day. Having new socks every day should be enough to keep you awake.
I'm guessing that my socks that I've worn once, the homeless guy down the street is going to be trading up to those socks.
Yeah, probably true.
And he'd have a new pair of socks every day, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I bought these Hanes socks, and you know they're pretty good socks, but just in general, it reminded me there's nothing quite like putting on a really good brand new pair of socks.
Yeah, once they've been through the wash for your feet.
Once they've been through the wash a few times, they start to feel like older socks. It's like you want brand new socks fresh out of the wrapper.
As is so frequently the case, I have some sock-related pro tips.
Now, of course you did, because as soon as I tweeted, quite harmlessly.
Yes.
I came down hard. I just got a new pair of socks. You instantly, of course, had to tweet by saying, well, I have superior socks.
Damn right.
Now, I'm guessing that you can't just buy socks and put them on. Like, you've got to – that's too convenient. No. Like, you've got to take the socks and condition them.
Just because I like to treat my toes.
Somehow and, like, put them in a Chemex. Whatever it is that you do,
yuck.
They have to be scientifically conditioned socks.
They're
knitted, so now they're toe socks.
Okay. So here is the first thing. If you want your socks to feel like they're new longer, wash them and dry them inside out.
I've heard that tip.
That makes them feel new much, much longer than
that's what you're
washing
feeling.
Them right side out. Yeah, exactly.
That's a good tip.
That's the good stuff. That's my pro tip. My preferred sock brand is the Smartwool. They are smart wool. So I did some experimentation over the last year. I bought some cheap socks at Target. I bought one of those bags with like 16 pairs of socks.
That's why I got the Hanes
$18.
One. And they're great.
And I'll tell you what happened. About the fourth time I started wearing those, I would be pulling them up onto my feet. And they would separate at the ankle but from the tube.
There's your problem. You're wearing the socks four times. You should wear them once or twice, throw them away, and put on a new pair.
I don't believe in tube socks.
I have smart wool socks that are older than norm.
Oh, my goodness.
That's not true. I have smart wool socks that are 10 years old. I saw my first hole in a pair of smart wools earlier this week when I was at E3.
I tell you, socks and underpants, yeah. It's a false economy when you go cheap.
Spend big on socks.
Like, I had some Old Navy boxer briefs, and again, they fall apart almost right away. I've got some Banana Republic boxer briefs that I've had for years because they're top quality.
It's the same company.
No, but they're making them in the same place.
Well, they've got some skitties, but
Malaysia.
You know.
It's all you.
What?
Also, what? You.
That's just it's
they're made in Malaysia.
It's all nature.
They are made in Malaysia. They're all made in the same factory. It's
That's
the same
racist.
Fucking company, dude.
That's racist.
I guess they make them in
no, look, if you take a pair of Old Navy boxer briefs, whatever, and put them next to Banana Republic boxer briefs.
It's the same.
No, they are not. One is better quality than the other.
Oh, my God. No, one is more expensive than the other.
And one is better quality.
They might double stitch them. They are made in the same fucking place.
But the double stitch, she lasts forever.
Oh, my God, Luigi. Not
that
Luigi.
That saved Paul Newman's life in the Hudsucker proxy, that double stitch. Don't you remember?
That's true. Double stitch is important.
No, I don't.
Well, you don't because you're... You still haven't
seen it?
It's too mainstream for Norm.
Bad person. Somebody tweeted me yesterday and was like, hey, Gary Whitta and Will Smith, thanks for...
Because it's such a great movie.
It's a fantastic movie.
Is it not on Netflix Instant or some service that you can get it? You've got to see the movie. I'll bring in my copy and let you borrow it. You got to watch it. So I invite tested... listeners to chime in on this because you are mad if you think that Banana Republic boxers are no better than
I buy Jockey boxers.
I buy Jockey.
I think that's a shitty brand.
Jockey is
a shitty brand.
You go to Macy's.
Yeah. No, you're doing it all wrong.
Jockey knit. The stretchy ones with a little bit of lycra.
Now, do you wear boxer briefs?
Yeah. And
is that what you go for?
I don't wear the boxer briefs. I have a couple pairs of
boxers.
Yeah, boxers, dude. I'm not a male model.
Really?
I know that's hard to believe, but only male models wear boxer briefs.
I like boxer briefs because they feel
the worst
they
fake
feel,
outtakes ever.
They feel kind of
no. What? I don't want to know. I don't know how they feel.
They feel kind of huggy.
Yes,
but there's still enough play in there, you know, for things to juggle around as they need.
This is a podcast. Like, we're talking in a room where we can see each other.
Yeah.
We don't have to use imagination. People listening to the podcast, all they have
Gary's
is
making
imagination.
Cupping gestures
this
with his hands.
This is a podcast, and when I'm talking about my pods, I want to make sure that they are, you know, clothed in the
so
in,
the smart
in the best
wool
way possible.
Socks.
Yeah.
The boxer briefs.
Where do you get these smart wool socks?
They sell them all over the place. You can get them on Amazon. They have them at REI.
Will buys everything on Amazon now.
I ordered toilet paper on
Amazon. I started buying food on Amazon now. And you really can get anything. It's amazing.
Well, the thing I'm going to do, I have developed a scheme so that I never have to buy deodorant again at the store. I bought a stick of deodorant from Amazon the other day. It should be here tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm going to write the date that I start using it on it. And then when I throw it out, I'm going to look at that date. And I'm going to send Amazon to send me deodorant. At the fixed interval which I use deodorant.
When it's a consumable product,
yes.
I noticed this is when I bought some of these fruit and nut bars that I like online, that you can have them shipped to you on a regular basis automatically.
As long as you consume them regularly.
The danger is...
Otherwise, they'll start piling up.
The danger is if you calculate poorly and you do something like toilet paper or paper towels, then you could end up with a massive garage full of toilet paper and hoarders coming
why not? You can tell Amazon to stop, like...
Yeah, you can't tell them to stop.
And instead of
sending out the reminder, just, you know, when you know you're down to the last few sheets of toilet paper, you know, the roll's getting a little thin.
I don't have that app yet.
Just
you're
get
Mr.
the new one.
I don't have the app yet.
No, I don't need a fucking thing on the toilet roll holder to go, you are running low on toilet paper.
I don't have the reminder
app. Would you like to send an email to Amazon? No, I just go, it looks like there's probably three or four more visits to the toilet left on that roll. I'd better go do another one-click order.
That's not the way you realize you're almost out of toilet paper. You realize you're almost out of toilet paper when you say, oh, damn, I'm out of toilet paper. It's an urgent situation. You have to yell to someone to bring you a roll.
You should be able to know when you're running low.
Well, also, no one buys toilet paper by the roll.
Right.
No, you buy the big dozen. The 24
right.
36
so
pack.
Usually, you know, you have a look in the little cupboard by the toilet and you see if there's any more left in there. And so you're down to the last one, you order some more.
Norm, you're a slum.
This isn't rocket science.
You're a slum lord. Do you supply toilet paper to the house?
Oh, no, it's all shared in Costco. And actually, it's better that I will live with other people because
they'll upgrade the
it's like five
paper?
Brains. It's five brains of working on the one keeping track of whether supplies
the toilet paper stockpile.
Yeah, it's not you're not relying on one person.
So is any one person responsible? Like if you actually do run out of toilet paper, is someone to
blame?
Well,
no, but everyone takes like, you know, four at a time to put in their own bathroom.
Oh, everybody has their own bathrooms.
Right. So everyone takes four at a time, but so when it's time to grab your next four and you see that the big bag is empty. Then, okay, we need to make a Costco.
So you buy the cheap toilet paper from Costco? That's awesome.
They sell good toilet paper at Costco.
Oh, you got to get that good cotton hell.
Norm's buying the Marathon.
Oh, well, no, because I'm sharing with other people, I do get the cheap ones.
Man, I would totally.
Oh, no, I would still want the Donald Trump toilet paper.
I would be out of the toilet paper pool.
Like the plebs, the other people, they can have that prison toilet paper, but I've got to have
the
quad
ply. He doesn't want to pay a quarter of the toilet paper cost and then have the super ply.
Well, yeah. No, but let them, you know,
people
do
also
what they
use
do.
It at different rates.
That's true.
I would have a secret stash of the sumptuous stuff.
Yeah, that might have to go to
Cottonelle Moist Wipes.
Whole Foods or the
No, you never buy toilet paper at Whole Foods.
No.
Never buy toilet paper at Whole Foods.
Oh, God, no. You don't want to do that.
So is Amazon cheaper than Costco?
Depends. It depends.
I would like to know a list of things where Amazon is cheaper. I cancel a Costco card and just go with Amazon?
There are some things that are bad to order from Amazon. For example, I am lazy about making breakfast, so I eat Builder's bars in the car on the way to work every morning. The Builder's bar, because it is ensconced in chocolate, does not travel well, especially in the summer months, because chocolate melts at the temperature of less than the inside of a UPS truck.
So let me ask you something.
Yes.
Because I think I've caught you out in a bit of hypocrisy here.
Okay.
You told me, oh, well, my Smartwool socks are superior to your Hanes socks, because when I buy those cheap Hanes socks from Target, they fall apart after 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But cheap Old Navy boxers and expensive Banana Republic boxers are the same thing.
Okay.
You can't have it both ways.
I don't understand what you're saying.
You can't say that expensive socks are superior to cheap socks.
I am
but
saying,
that expensive boxers are not superior to cheap boxers.
No, I'm saying Banana Republic boxers aren't superior to cheap boxers because they also are
company.
Cheap boxers.
Because
I'm saying
they don't. They make good ones.
I'm saying
ones.
That Gap Holdings Incorporated makes shitty clothes. None of that shit holds up.
So you don't think the quality of, say, a shirt from Banana Republic is any better than the quality you get from the shirt from Old Navy?
If I buy a shirt from – no, I think they probably manufacture it a little bit better. It is slightly higher on the shitty to awesome scale, still far on the shitty side.
I don't think you can get a Merlino sweater from Old Navy though.
No, they'd use better materials at Banana Republic, but those things are all manufactured shoddily.
They use better materials.
I don't think on underwear, I don't think it matters though.
Oh, I mean, it matters most.
We can test this, but I'm not modeling underwear.
Matters for us, but not for
when you're dealing with your most intimate areas.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I bet they use the same materials.
No.
I bet there are similar materials.
No.
The point is, I've bought jockey underwear for about 20 years. I quite like it. I have one type that I like. I just buy the same shit.
So, but what's so good about these socks?
The socks are unbelievably comfortable. They last a long time. They're really nice and thick and padded. And they have a liner built in, so they wick away moisture and they keep your feet cool or warm as the season allows.
Are they like those chunky kind of hiking sock looking
well, you can
socks?
You can get them that big, but you can get normal thicknesses too.
Okay.
Like I wear them with sneakers instead of like dark socks when I'm wearing jeans.
Right.
So as a general
Costco
rule.
Socks. I just get Costco socks.
You like, yeah, nothing wrong with Costco.
When I put Costco socks on, literally four washings, and then they start separating at the heel.
The problem is when I go to Costco, I always get carried away, and it's always like I leave like
Costco,
with the end of the world shopping cart.
Yeah. Last time I went to Costco, I came back with two things of pizza bagels.
If I had
you don't need 200 pizza bagels ever.
If I had one of those like treasure chest style freezers that people keep in their garage.
Yeah, I'd like one of those.
If I had one of those, I would go to Costco all the time and buy cheap meat and just keep it filled all the time. It'd be great.
Yeah, I always like to think I'd do that, but I think it would just get bad in the freezer.
Where did you get that sweater from? Because that looks very comfortable.
J. Crew.
It's not as soft as it looks.
See, J. Crew, another quality outlet.
J. Crew is also bad clothing, dude.
It's just expensive.
You just criticize Norm's sweater.
I like Norm's sweater. It's very attractive. It is not as soft as it looks.
But it must be bad because it came from J. Crew.
I bet it's made in Malaysia.
Why is made in Malaysia bad?
Trust me. I grew up in a
place. I'm sensing racism.
No, this isn't racism. It's manufacturism.
But iPhone's made in China. So what?
Fuck yeah, dude. China's good
at manufacturing
stuff.
But it's a quality product.
Yes.
Okay. There's but Malaysia's not.
There's a difference between the I can't believe we're going to have this conversation. It's going to be really super political. The clothing manufactured, there's some places you should just not buy clothing that's manufactured in. It's not very good.
Where is your sweater? Like, hold on. I'm going to look at Norm's ticket here.
Okay. This is a great moment in podcast history. Gary checks Norman's tag.
100% cotton made in China.
Okay. Well, then that's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
All I know is I used to buy those Gap. I used to buy jeans from the Gap and Old Navy and places like that, and those fuckers would fall apart after like.
Where are they made?
Well, they were at the time made in Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur, and you know.
So what do you look for on the tag? You're like made in China.
I don't buy clothes anymore. I just my wife does that. I buy T-shirts.
Your wife buys your clothes for you?
She buys jeans.
What? Your wife dresses you?
What?
No, I send her out to get specific jeans.
What?
Yeah.
Now we've entered an interesting area.
Why would you go buy clothes?
Does she every morning lay out your outfit for you?
No. Do you see what I wear? My picking out clothes is the easiest thing in the world. I wear a pair of jeans and a t-shirt every day.
Okay. Undershirt,
jeans, t-shirt. Sometimes boxers.
So when you've decided it's time for a new pair of jeans, you send Gina out to get them for you?
Well, sometimes if I'm out...
I can't believe... Hold on. A man should always buy his jeans.
But I mean, don't you need to try them on?
No, she gets like four pairs, and I try them on. I keep the ones that I like, and the others go back.
No, what?
What? Why would you ever want to try clothes on in the mall?
I mean, I admit that's not fun. I don't like trying clothes on.
Going to the mall
either.
Is the shittiest experience in the world.
So you have Gina do it?
Well, I don't have Gina do it. She likes to go out and buy jeans for me because it's fun to shop for me.
But it's not that. What? It's not that fun if she's just buying the specific jeans you've told her to get.
I just say, hey, we know that there are like three brands of jeans that are comfortable for me.
But at least go with her and make it a thing that you do together.
Like if we're going to a movie at Westfield, then we'll go down to the Lucky Store and I'll buy some shitty.
But you won't try jeans on. But you won't try jeans.
Never try them on in the store.
You'll go home and try them on.
Yes.
But then that's more hassle because then you've got to take the other jeans back.
No, it just means next time I come to see a movie, then I return them.
Yeah, but you better hope that's within like 30 days.
They're usually very flexible, and I'm always store credit works because I'm always going to buy more jeans.
I don't like the way you shop. It's
terrible.
What is wrong with this?
It's madness.
What, do you guys go out with your crew of dudes and buy some clothes together?
Yeah, and it's all done, you know, to a musical montage.
Right. Are you prancing through Nordstrom's?
Yes. Yes.
When do you go shopping?
Twirling around and having a great time.
Right.
No, I don't like shopping for clothes either. It's awful.
It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I buy t-shirts online. That's easy. They all fit the same.
Okay.
I buy jeans. Occasionally, like if I need to go out and get shirts or something like that, I'll go buy shirts.
Right. But you usually you only ever wear t-shirts and jeans.
Usually what happens is Gina's going out to buy something and she's like, hey, I'm going to be there. Do you want me to get some new jeans for you? And I'll be like, yeah, totally get some new jeans.
See, it's a different equation for Norm because Norm is young and single. He still gives a fuck what he looks like.
Right. I don't care.
So he has to worry about presenting himself well because he has to.
Yeah, well, come payday. I know.
His plumage must attract females.
Where are you going after? Where do you buy clothes, Norm? J. Crew?
Sometimes.
J. Norm? Like,
yeah, well, yesterday I went to watch Green Lantern and I was there 2 hours early. So I might as well go to J. Crew. That's where I got the sweater.
Oh my God. I would never do that.
What? But you just said that is what you do when you go to the mall to watch a movie.
We go to the movie early.
You never shop by yourself.
I hardly ever shop by myself. I make poor decisions. I have bought some abominable clothes.
If it's just jeans, how far off the track can you really go?
I'm good with jeans.
So what kind of bad decisions have you made?
So you're saying you have no taste?
No, I'm saying I have bad taste.
Do you only know that it's a bad decision once you come home?
No,
and
I usually
to Gina?
Am fully aware that. Like for example, the last bad piece of clothing I bought were those white Oakley flip flops.
Oh, I don't remember those. They sound awful.
Why would you buy Oakley flip flops?
Why Oakley flip flops sound terrible?
So I was away someplace. It was hotter than I expected. I had brought a swim trunks, but I forgot to put fucking flip flops in my bag. So pool situation. I need some sort of sandal. So I walked across the street from the hotel to the first mall that I saw, and the only place that sold flip flops in King Kong sizes.
See,
that I needed was the Oakley.
Yeah,
store.
I mean, if it's one of those things where, like, sometimes there have been times when I've been at the hotel or whatever, and I want to go in the pool, and I didn't bring my swimming shorts.
Yeah,
so you just buy whatever's in the gift shop. Sure. Maybe they're awful, but who gives a shit? You just need some swimming shorts.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's fine. That's okay.
Swimming shorts, really? Not swim trunks?
Trunks, whatever. I thought trunks was just in English, but I didn't know you had trunks.
We say trunks.
The word trunks here. Yeah, not like a fucking speedo or something.
God, right.
Well, I'm surprised then, Gary, because you're
Euro.
Exactly. You like the boxer briefs.
Yes.
Why are you not
with the trunks and not the speedo?
Because
the boy short.
No, because quality trunks have that little cargo net that holds your nuts.
The internetting.
Yes, the internetting.
That was the best Simpsons in the last 10 years, by the way.
I don't remember that. Uh-oh. I'm just saying, but those are kind of like boxer briefs because you've got the trunks, but inside there is a support system.
That support system should not be trusted, though.
Why not?
It's not built for structural failures.
I do often when I go shopping, so many of the things that I'll pull off the rack seem good to me.
Yeah.
And then Leah will come over and go, no.
I cut out the middleman, which was me.
She's not telling me I can't buy it, but no. She'll be like, you can buy it if you want.
You're going to look like a dumbass.
I'm just telling you, you're going to look like an idiot.
What, yeah. Is it Tommy, yeah, Bahama? Or is...
No, don't go. No, never like go into Tommy Bahama.
I like Tommy Bahama.
Oh, that place smells so bad, like cheap fake silk.
As you get older, that stuff starts to look better too.
Loose fitting.
It was like that movie, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
When you're 40, you're going to be going into Tommy Bahama going, this shirt looks pretty good. No, look, it's got palm trees and shit on it. You are.
No,
you
way.
It's impossible for you to imagine the old version of yourself, but you are going to become less cool as you get older.
The old version of myself is
not
awesome.
You're not going to be the first person ever in history to become more
cool.
Jack Nicholson
Selleck
is the only guy that could ever do it.
No, he's not cool anymore either.
Yeah, he's still cool.
He's cooler. But
no one's
going to
be going around going, Norm is so much cooler now than he was 20 years ago.
No, the point is,
you want to be cool inside your peer group.
You're cool. Like, the reason that argument works is because
this conversation
is
powerfully not cool.
You reach a point where your style stays the same. So relatively, you may not be cool to all
the
younger.
Style never stays the same.
Well, your personal style can stay the same.
It can't.
You reach a point.
It's impossible.
So
you'll die old and lonely.
20 years from now, I might not be cool to the crazy kids wearing the silver jumpsuits.
Yes.
But I'll be wearing, you know,
yeah.
I'll be wearing
flying around on their hoverboards.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. I'll still be wearing, you know, the J. Crew sweaters and button ups, and that's still my style. And that is, I guess, the future version.
I mean,
of
that's
if that stuck, I would still be wearing Abercrombie and Fitch flannel shirts and cargo shorts.
I think we're quite fortunate in that all of us, even Norm, who is obviously the guy who's kind of most concerned with appearance. Our style tends to be fairly. It's not like Norm's, you know, wearing.
It's a slow evolution.
Crazy, you know, clubbing clothes or anything like the
God.
Stuff. Like that sweater is probably not going to be out of fashion in 20 years.
My father
years.
Would wear that sweater.
That's a very straightforward sweater.
Yeah.
You can't really go wrong.
It'll
with
wear
that.
Out
vintage
before
is
it's not
very
cool.
Back in.
Yeah,
you want to wear old
here
stuff.
He goes.
Your our meme t-shirts are not going to age well.
No. That's why they have a 6-month shelf life. They get shit canned. There's going
to
be a.
What do you do? Donate
Holocaust.
Them to the Goodwill or something?
Usually they're too worn out at that point.
Really?
Yeah, I turned a bunch of them into rags a few weeks ago. It was kind of sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at those like Charlie Sheen winning t-shirts in Hot Topic. I'm like, man, that's naff before you even get it out of the store.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't get those printed before they were no longer cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think
Hot Topic is a store to avoid.
Hot Topic
general.
Is awful.
Yeah. That Hollister is, also.
If you
bad.
Find yourself buying I did buy one t-shirt in Hot Topic once that I liked was the one that said no one gives a shit about your farm.
Ugh,
when Farmville
God.
Was very popular.
That was a good t-shirt.
Yeah, I wore that to my... Well, I was going to...
You wore it here once.
Yeah, I had a meeting with Zynga and I really wanted to wear it.
No, that was a good move.
No, I decided to be... Yeah, it wasn't smart.
The thing for me is that I really, really... Like when I go to the mall, I feel like that the mall... Just the existence of the mall is one of the signs of the apocalypse. Like I think that is...
Well, you don't have to shop at malls. You can shop at...
Well,
know.
Here you can shop other places,
yeah.
But in the rest of the country, malls.
So, are you more comfortable on like Hate Street than at the mall?
No, that shit's all too cool for me.
Well, like, where's this middle ground?
Well, I'll, like, hit Nordstrom's or something like that sometimes. But
those are all at the mall.
Generally, it's the mall. I mean, that's the thing is you have to suck it up and go to the mall, or you order online, get like four sizes of everything, and then just send.
But
a bunch
are you one of these? Are you one of these people that gets depressed at the mall? Like, oh, look at all this consumerism.
No. I don't get depressed at the mall. I just don't like going. Like until we started doing those ads seen on TV bits. And we discovered the Great Khan Mongolian Barbecue at Saramonte. I don't think I had been to the mall in 5 years.
I go to the mall all the time, and I enjoy it.
You have a lot of free time.
It's not about
you
free
get
time.
Sick of it?
Really? I don't like kids.
It's like
I don't like
kids.
Teenagers.
It's like there's once you've done your shopping round, there's nothing to do at the mall. It once you see through it, like you stare at
the mall is essentially
minutes,
Vegas and, without the chance to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's a place designed to extract money from you on shit that you probably don't need. So maybe I do get depressed when I go to the mall.
I think maybe you do, especially since you seem to hate children.
I don't hate children. I'm scared of teenagers. It's different.
Yeah, youths are scary.
Right. I mean, when you see a pack of like six 14-year-old kids coming at you.
Yeah, I mean, for people our age, that is like a pack of hyenas.
I pull my bag in closer and like, zip up
avoid,
my jacket.
Avoid right. eye contact.
Right.
You tuck your fanny pack in your shirt.
Oh, fuck off with the fanny pack. but yeah, I mean, the mall is I don't know. I remember when I was a kid, my dad was like, oh, I don't know why you go to the goddamn mall. It's a terrible place. I get it now. He's right.
I like a good food court.
Well, the food court is a different thing.
Depends.
And good food courts are rare.
Yeah.
I would argue that the existence of a Panda Express and a Sbarro instantly makes the food court not good.
Well, Sbarro's gone out of business.
Oh, good. Sorry about that.
It's a sit-down restaurant.
But a good, I don't know if there is a really good food court in the Bay Area.
Now, food courts are going out of style. It's all food carts.
Yeah.
Oh, is that trucks. The thing?
Food trucks and carts.
We should go to the food truck thing that they do in San
Festival?
Francisco.
September?
Well, there's that. We should definitely go to that because they'll have good food there.
I've been we went last year to the street food fair. It was fantastic.
It's so crowded, though.
It's super crowded, and all the really good stuff is either sold out or there's a super long line for it.
But if you don't want to go to the big long line, then there's the what's the thing they do every Friday at it's where they pull up like five or six food trucks and there's just tables and chairs and music and you can go eat food and hang out.
That sounds good. I don't know where that is.
They do one on Valencia and the Mission on Saturdays. Mm. It's all over the place.
But the street food fair is great, but it's always horrendously oversubscribed.
Easy way to like spend $100 on
hot dogs,
$5 tacos, $4 tacos.
It is also a good way to. It's a good way to you know experiment with different kinds of foods that you might not.
I mean, they take
eat.
Trucks from all over the country. And
yeah, here. Exactly.
Yeah, so good food. Who'd have thought that you could listen to a tech podcast and also get tips on food and fashion?
Yeah,
Gary, underpants.
I'll end there with going to the gym. Also, encourage you to. It makes the shopping experience better because then you're also feeling better about yourself.
Yeah, because you've got those endorphins.
I never don't feel good about myself shopping. Even when I was giant and much 20
Do you never get like
heavier.
Like buyer's remorse after you buy like a big ticket item and you feel kind of guilty about it or weird? Like you shouldn't have bought it. Like, should I really be spending this money?
I'm going to tell you a story. When I was a kid, when I was 16, the first big ticket item I bought after getting a car was like a VCR and a TV, and they were both stereo, so it was kind of ridiculously expensive at the time.
Mm.
And on the way home, somebody crashed into my car. So for a long time, I associated buying big ticket things with having car crashes.
Oh, you had like trauma.
So I was always like fucking like, corner of the eye.
Nothing good can happen
to me. Right. If I bought this, the universe is punishing me for buying this. I'm over that now. It's all
really
worked out.
Scarred
by
that.
Goodness.
Yeah.
But, wait, so you go to the gym. Are you saying you go to the gym at the mall? Is that
No. I'm saying you've been going to the gym. You've been working out or you've been working out at home and eating healthier.
Yeah.
That and by doing that, you'll need to buy new clothes because your body's changing.
Yeah.
And that makes the shopping experience that much better because you're feeling good about yourself.
It is tremendously – I mean that's in itself is a great thing. It's great to go to the mall and buy clothes smaller than you usually would be able to fit into.
Well, it's such a smaller – like, hey, you know, I don't think like a
– fat lump.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't want to say it, but yeah.
No, I know. Trust me.
Fat lump. That's lovely.
But – But no, I mean, since I've been exercising, I think that whole that whole thing about, you know, exercising, improving your mood is totally true.
Oh, yeah.
I've been much less moody. I'm much generally
better?
Sleeping better.
Yeah.
Feeling
chipper.
Generally,
you
generally,
seem chipper.
Generally happier.
More prankish.
Yeah.
Fucker.
Oh, by the way, I saw that when somebody asked you, Will, what happened, you replied by going, oh, that was Gary saying, can I see iOS 5? When, again, that is not what happened.
Well, the question
you
was...
You thrust the iOS 5 into my hands, and I said, dude, don't give me this. And then you walked out.
You wanted it. Your mouth said no, but your eyes said yes.
I think you wanted it. I think you like it when it happens, which is why you keep allowing it to happen.
I know. I forget. I just trust that my friends aren't going to burn me on shit like that. But I guess, I mean, I've learned an important lesson.
Road closure, Golden Gate Bridge, all southbound lanes closed due to vehicle accident. So that may be relevant to some people here.
Okay. We'll see you guys next week.
So Golden Gate Bridge, all southbound lanes. Wait, so that's... That's not so bad.
Go to the mall, Robin Sparkles.
Oh.
Awesome.